Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you in part by Walk-On's Bistro and Bar.
I'm very happy right now.
Why is that?
Because I just decided where I'm going to get the wife for Valentine's Day, which happens to be on Friday.
Yes, it does.
And I never have a good idea of what to get her, but I just realized I've had an epiphany. Is that what the word is?
Epiphany.
Stephanie, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But I'm going to get her a Big Johnson t-shirt. What wife wouldn't want a Big Johnson for Valentine's Day?
The 12 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Prompt Technology.
If her coworkers are listening, don't spoil this.
Yes,
even
please.
Even if they do,
be a surprise.
She'll have no idea what that is. They'll be like, oh, Q's going to get you a Big Johnson t-shirt.
I bet she knows what the Big Johnson t-shirts are.
I think I might have said something about that to her before, like a long time ago.
Well, you said she's very East Waco, right?
Yeah.
She grew up in Texas.
Yeah.
She's certainly come across Big Johnson t-shirts.
Well, maybe.
More advice, get the couch ready.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your Boy Q.
And good afternoon on this Tuesday, February the 11th, 2020. 12:03 is the time here on ESPN Central Texas, and we come to you on a frigid and rainy day here in Central Texas, but we are cooped up nice and warm in the home studios, and that's where we will be with you for the next 3 hours. Hopefully you're having a pretty good day. Hopefully you've enjoyed what you've heard so far. Whether you're just tuning in, well, then hope you like what you hear. But if you've been listening all morning long, whether to Matt Mosley or J-Mo or Wingo and Golic, we certainly appreciate that as well. If you were listening last night during the broadcast of Baylor in Texas, we certainly appreciate that. The Baylor men win again. The streak continues on. They remain perfect in Big 12 play, and they stomp Texas on their way to their latest W. We'll be talking about that throughout the show this afternoon. But Craig Smoke with you, joined as always by your boy Q. How are we doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great because I'm in studio. But anybody who's out there on the roads, anyone who's out there working in the cold and everything, man, stay bundled up. Stay safe out there, man. I went to the house real quick to make me a single man sandwich. And I'll tell you, man, it was pouring. And now it's not pouring right now, but that's just how quick it happens. So, man, just be out there on that road. Be safe. And like I said, if you're out there working in that rain, I know a lot of folks that listen to us and they're working on a truck or a construction site or something like that. Stay warm, my brother. Stay warm. And I'm good. I'm in the studio.
Want to give a big shout out to whoever invented the hood. Not the white pointy kind, but the hood that we have on our jackets.
Damn.
But the hood that we have on our jackets, because it's coming in handy on a day like today. Because, man, it is cold. And this nasty weather that we're having these last couple days, I guess, is what we're supposed to be having in February. But March is right around the corner. And hopefully some clear skies and some baseball weather. I know with you being Mr. Softball, you got to be looking at this weather forecast going, are we going to get some games
we
in?
We got postponed today. You know, the game was supposed to be today. It got pushed back to Thursday.
And that was a good call, obviously.
You know, yeah, really. Obviously, it really was. But hopefully everything goes smooth, man. Thursday's a game and then the Getterman Classic this weekend. So hopefully the weather clears up.
Yeah, and you're going to be out, what, Thursday and Friday?
No, just Friday.
Okay.
Just Friday, just for the Getterman Classic.
Steven Simcox will not be out ever. He's just chained to this chair over here. Not allowed to leave except for, you know, a couple hours here and there to, you know, say hi to the kids and the wife.
And get a glass of water and that's
other,
it.
Other than that, an occasional bathroom break. Simi, how are we doing this afternoon?
I'm good. Studio's not the worst place to be today, as we've kind of outlined with the weather. But, yeah, I guess we finally got that front that they've been talking about all week, and good decision by Baylor softball,
man,
canceling that game and not having the Abilene Christian drive out here. Obviously,
I know I wasn't here last Thursday, but did you guys talk about the fact that it snowed
a little bit? Yeah,
that was wild, man. We left the house at four in the morning to head to the airport in Dallas, to Dallas Love Field, and
Did you have any trouble getting there?
No, everything was smooth on the road, but it was crazy. It was insane. All of a sudden, I opened up the garage, not knowing at all that it has snowed, and all of a sudden I look at my lawn and it's all white, and also, wife, what the hell is this? And like outside there's a car in our driveway and it's covered in snow, and I'm thinking, this ain't Texas, this ain't Central Texas, what in the hell's going on? And so, yeah, that kind of blew my mind. I didn't get to talk to you guys about that, but man, I had to take a couple pictures of that. It's like being a tourist almost. I'm like, oh my god, what is this stuff?
Yeah, I was commenting on the fact that typically we get any kind of precipitation, it's like this, where it's just cold and wet, which is the worst. I think this is the absolute worst weather, and certainly severe weather trumps that. But just in terms of you can still get around, have your normal day-to-day. This is the nastiest kind of weather, cold and wet. But I was up, and I had walked outside to take the trash out, and I walked back in, as I was telling Simi, and like 20 minutes later, I walked back out again and just peek outside and see little flurries. And I'm like, okay, well, this isn't going to stick. This is, you know, something that happens every once in a while, but certainly it's not going to last or stay on the ground very much. And walked back out like another half hour later, mm-hmm. and it was completely covered. The entire back area behind my place was all white, and it was cool to see that. It was cool to see like real snow, regular snow, and not the, you know, icy sheets that we get or anything like that. So, yeah, I didn't think about you traveling that night, but that was pretty cool to see, even though it didn't last very long.
No, and it was one of those where I thought, I was kind of concerned, like Sammy said, you know, are we going to be able to travel? And so I went and just kind of ran my hand on the snow that was on the car, and it was, like, super soft, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was, like, cotton and everything, so I knew it wasn't going to be frozen over. But, yeah, man, that just kind of blew my mind. We just got a text on the Bush and Chica text line from the 254 area code, said, from last week's snow in Robinson, and they actually made a snowman out of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty creative, so I like that.
It was interesting because, yeah, it was just little flakes. I didn't think it was going to stick. And I did actually have the thought of, wow, this is not just sticking, but you could actually, you know, make like a little mini snowman out of this. You know, you couldn't go full-blown frosty, but you could make a little bit of a snowman.
Well, and it was like the day before was supposed to be the day. Like, we could get freezing rain or something like that. And then I remember waking up that morning and seeing people post, like, it's snowing. And that had been the night before, and I thought, okay, cool, like, there were some flurries, and then walking outside and seeing, no, it's, like, the ground's covered.
It's crazy.
Cars covered, so it was pretty wild, but it was kind of the perfect amount of, like, it was nice snow, it didn't really affect people too much, and, yeah, you just sort of go about your day.
Yeah, there wasn't, like, pandemonium on the streets. You know, when it rains here, much
oh,
like
man.
A lot of Jeez. Other American cities, I mean, where I'm from, it was pretty much the same way, but it rains here even like a sprinkle and people just are riding their brakes, mm-hmm. you know, just
hit
panicking.
The panic button.
Oh, panicking.
Yep.
And when they don't realize, they're making it way worse for everybody else. Don't speed up. Don't go faster in the rain, but don't slow to a crawl because that just causes all these jumbles and all of that. But we don't want to get me talking traffic because I will go on a rant on the 35 construction, particularly the fact that you've got the left lane closed signs on the right side of the road, so everybody flies down the left lane even though it's closed, and then it causes this jumble that we get on 35. This is never going to end, fellas, construction.
People in Temple are like, ha, ha, ha,
oh, I know.
Suckers.
Oh, I know.
We dealt with that for years.
They're glad to be over and done with it, and that was my thought as well. As man, we saw that for years and
yep.
years in Temple, and it's really just getting started in Waco. Shoot, there's apartment buildings across the street from us, or new hotels actually mm-hmm. going up, and they've been building these two hotels in particular over there in the Central Texas marketplace for like a year now at this point. And I don't know if that was the timeline or if all of the weird weather we've had from time to time has caused delays, but I didn't think it took that long. Then again, if you're building like 100 hotel rooms, I imagine that takes
right.
a good amount of time. But yeah, the construction folks out there today and just those that work outside, props to you. Because
yeah.
I couldn't be doing it right
now.
I know
my man D. Lockwood would be driving that truck. He'd be working out there on that truck, man. So be safe out there, D.
Yeah, this is one of those car wash days when I used to work at the car wash.
Yeah.
That you'd just be kind of waiting around right now,
mm-hmm.
ready for the boss to give you the call. They're like, all right, nobody's going to show up. The weather's too bad. Go ahead and go home. It reminds me of one of those days. But we'd kill a couple hours before finally getting
right.
that call. You got to stay open until you're just sure that nobody's going to come rolling through.
Well, they don't give the FedEx man the day off. I'll tell you that right now. Packages got to be delivered. People are angry if their packages don't get delivered. So, yeah, this is a bad day for delivering FedEx, especially if you're one of those cats. I was not one, but a lot of cats keep their door open. Not me, bro. I close the door every single time. They're like, you're wasting time. I don't care. If I can stay a little bit warmer, I'm going to stay a little bit warmer.
Yeah, well, the rain's 100% chance tonight.
Lovely.
So expect more. And then like a 90% chance tomorrow, although I think it's supposed to tail off tomorrow night. So if you're looking ahead at the forecast, you're wondering how long this is going to last. The cold temps are going to last, it looks like, for majority of the week. But the rain should tail off, at least this current storm, probably sometime tomorrow. So we'll see how that affects any upcoming softball games or anything else going on outside. As you mentioned, the softball game today was already canceled yesterday, or moved, I should say. Not sure how high schools and whatnot are being affected as well. So, we got spring right around the corner, so we'll get that soon enough. But on the show today, we're going to have Patrick Walker of CBS Sports. He'll be joining us here in about 20 minutes from now to talk Cowboys. Sean Lee's returning, although we don't know if it will be with Dallas or not. But he is going to return for another NFL season, and what do you think the market looks like for Sean Lee? How much attention will he really be paid outside of Dallas?
You know, I think he's going to get some real good attention because he had a good year in 2019, you know, and you're as good as your last year. And so I think that there's going to be teams that are going to look for some veteran leadership for the linebacker position. And I don't know as far as money, but I think that he's going to have a lot of teams at least interested as far as wanting his services. And ultimately, I think his heart remains in Dallas and really wants to stay in Dallas. So if anything, he'll probably give them a cheaper deal. Not a whole lot to even make a big difference, but I think that it's going to have to take a real good offer from another team to get him out of Big D if Dallas wants him back.
How interesting, Steven, that Sean Lee was looked at as like a weakness in this linebacking core just simply because of injuries, not because of his play when he was out there. But now because of the situation in their linebacking core, you almost can't afford to lose a Sean Lee.
Exactly.
People were begging for him to retire or to cut ties, and now it's like, no, please, we need you to stick around because – you know, Jalen Smith's what he is, pretty good, but they don't have like some super strong linebacking core that they can really afford to be losing guys.
No, and Sean's done a really good job of reinventing himself. And I mean, they've had some guys that were sort of stopgap guys, like Anthony Hitchens just won himself a Super Bowl ring. And I know he was somebody they wanted to keep around, but just didn't work out. Damian Wilson might kind of fall in that mold as well, but their depth isn't there. And the question with Sean was always the injury history. And, you know, unfortunately, that's plagued in his whole career. It's kind of something that you can't really answer to. But now their newest draft pick in Leighton Vander Esch, there are questions about his health and sustainability as well. So you sort of go from one young budding star who was handling that to another. And Jalen Smith with his downturn last year. That depth becomes all the more important if you can keep somebody like Sean Lee around.
Well, Jerry's called him a core player. He's 34 years old. Can't imagine him getting more than like a 1 or 2 year deal, but maybe a nice fat 1 year deal would be enough to tempt him to maybe go to Jacksonville for a season or Buffalo or wherever he might be wanted. But we'll talk Cowboys with Patrick Walker at 12:30. At 1 o'clock, we'll have NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3. Anything exciting in store today?
Well, I'm going to start off talking Redskins. There's some news and notes around D.C., which it seems like there always is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but one defensive back that played really well for the Redskins in 2019, even though he only played in 11 games, he's asked for a trade or request. So we'll start things off talking with some Quentin Dunbar.
All right, very good. So we'll have that for you at 1 o'clock. At 1:30, we'll have Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com. And at 2:30, we'll be joined by Mitch Thompson, MCC baseball coach. They are getting underway, the Highlanders, and they've had some great runs. Some championships have fallen here as of late, just a bit short of their ultimate goal. So another season starting up for Mitch Thompson and the Highlanders. We'll have him at 2:30 today. And may even dip into like a little Astros cheating scandal with him. Sometimes we talk some baseball outside just the JUCO game with him. So I would certainly be interested in his thoughts on what was the biggest offseason storyline in baseball this year. So there's the show for you this afternoon. If you want to be a part of it, 254-662-1660 is both the phone lines and the Bush's Chicken text line where you can chime in at any point during the show with a comment, a question, opinion, what have you. 254-662-1660. Coming up next, Baylor men win again in Austin, the number one team in the land for nearly a month now. Get it done, and we'll talk about that. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 Basketball Saturday with Pat and John here on the home of the Bears.
The Bears back in action Saturday in the Farrell Center hosting West Virginia. 2:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 3 p.m. tip-off Saturday for the Bears and the Mountaineers.
Baylor Big 12 Basketball Saturday here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist Democrats want more control of our lives. Left unchecked, they'll take away our gun rights, confiscate more of your paycheck. And their immigration policy will simply be let anyone in and give everyone welfare. Pete Sessions is determined to stop them. A Waco native and faithful Christian, Pete Sessions is a pro-life conservative who once represented much of our congressional district. In Congress, Pete defended our gun rights, protected our religious liberty, and stood with President Trump to build the border wall. And when Obama was president, Pete Sessions led the National Republican campaign that defeated Pelosi as Speaker. And he'll do that again, too. Republican Pete Sessions, a true conservative who will fight for us.
I'm Pete Sessions, and I'll fight for our future, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Pete Sessions for Congress.
Baylor football fans, now is the time to order your reserve parking and tailgate spaces for the 2020 Baylor football season. Brazos Parking, locally owned and operated, is located at 1400 Martin Luther King Boulevard across from McLean Stadium and is home for the best tailgating in Waco. Go to BrazosParking.com to learn about all the great amenities, including friendly customer service, site map, and easy reservation system. Remember, BrazosParking.com, that's B-R-A-Z-O-S Parking.com, to reserve your game day destination.
Your CBD store, the only designated CBD store in Central Texas, located in Hewitt. We've created a warm, inviting space where you can feel comfortable asking the questions you've wanted to ask about CBD. Every product has independent lab testing available. Our staff is here to help you find an award-winning product that's right for you. Come see for yourself and get back to being you. Visit us at your CBD store on Hewitt Drive, next to Cafe Cappuccino.
It's a new year and it's time to fire up the grill, heat up the oven, or get that deep fryer going to enjoy the top quality products at Waco Custom Marketplace. Hi, this is David Smith. And live crawfish season is here, so it's time to prepare, boil, and enjoy delicious crawfish, and give Waco Custom Marketplace a call to order your bag of their finest crawfish, available right now. Crawfish boil box includes 5 pounds of red beet potatoes, 30 corn cobettes, 5 pounds of sausage, and plenty of Louisiana boil seasoning. And make your order now for live crawfish and pick it up in time for the weekend. Let Waco Custom Marketplace be your one-stop shop for team gatherings, school functions, and fundraisers. And remember, the crawfish boil box includes red beet potatoes, corn cobettes, sausage, and plenty of Louisiana boil seasoning. Serving Waco restaurants and families since 1940, Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive, or WacoCustomMarketplace.com.
UBO Business Services offers the best office copiers available. Our brand agnostic approach allows our business analysts to select the right multifunction copier for your office that meets both your budget and functionality requirements. www.ubo.com.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. And last night it was the Baylor men winning their 21st straight game, 52-45 over the Texas Longhorns. Baylor now 22-1 on the year, 11-0 in Big 12 conference play. Texas now 14-10 with Shaka Smart and 4-7 in Big 12 conference play. And a typical Baylor effort, great defense, stingy defense, annoying defense, and contributions offensively from a bevy of players. Nobody really stealing all the spotlight for themselves. Just a team is what you saw once again last night, and a team is what has allowed this Baylor basketball program to experience some really unprecedented success, flirting with a lot of really old history when talking about the start they're off to and the streak that they're on and all those different types of things. But a final score that makes the game seem like it was closer really than it was. Baylor was up by near 20 at one point, and Texas went on a bit of a run, hit a couple threes, had a three-point play, and started to kind of narrow that lead a little bit. Jared Butler responded with a big three with about 5 minutes to go, and despite the press that Texas was putting on that at one point in time with Shaka Smart running a press, you know, used to rattle opponents, not so much as effective anymore, but Texas put on the press. Baylor was able to wind their way through it. And despite not shooting well, once again, which is something that I just feel like is going to, you know, hurt them at some point, they still find a way to get a W. So despite a little late run by UT, not nearly enough. And Baylor is just on fire right now. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They are on fire at 22-1 after starting off 1-1 and nearly are now over halfway through the Big 12 schedule. They are starting to just, you know, put the sweeps on people as they have now done with Texas.
Yeah, they're finding ways to win each and every night out, and so that's what's impressive. The way that they're playing defense is impressive. The way that they were connecting at the free throw line last night was something that we've been talking about a lot. They were able to do that. That was pretty impressive. You know, the press for UT was working a little bit. You know, it did turn them over quite a bit, turned them over more than it did the first time that they played Texas, but ultimately they were able to separate. And, you know, the one thing about a Baylor game is there's never a time where they're just going to 100% seal the deal. They're never going to just close the door on you. If you just If you just stick around, they'll give you an opportunity to go on a run. And UT had an opportunity to go on a run and cut the game to, what, like a 4-point lead, 3-point lead or something. It was really close at one point. But then, again, like you said, UT goes for a steal and they miss it. Jared Butler hits a 3-pointer, and it just felt like, okay, that was going to be the dagger right there and just keep extending that lead. And that's what Baylor did. So, again, man, finding ways to win. Very impressive that they're committed to the defensive side of the ball the way that they are, and they just get after it. Again, Mark Vidal playing a big role in the game, and, you know, all these guys just getting after it defensively. I love to see it, man. It's a great recipe for winning games. Some point, they're going to have to get on and start really hitting some shots and knocking some shots down. But right now, I mean, they keep winning games, so that's all that really matters. Get a W.
Yeah, that's all you're asking for. I mean, just 52 points your output, but you limit Texas to 45. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
19 in the first half.
Yeah, ridiculously good. Once again, defensively, Maceo Teague had 11 for Baylor. Devontae Bandu had a nice night, pouring in 10 himself, but a lot of single-digit scores. As I was on Austin Radio this morning, there's not like a Steph Curry on this team. You know, there's not a ball hog on this team. It's just one night it's going to be this guy pouring in like 12 that matter, and then another night it's going to be this guy pouring in like 10 that matter and a couple of boards. And it's not sexy basketball from the standpoint of, you know, poetry in motion and big shots and things like that, but it's sexy in its own like physical, defensive-minded way, and that's just how they've been able to navigate through this Big 12 schedule so far and remain perfect. But UT, what an awful night shooting for them. Just absolutely atrocious, and Baylor wasn't shooting great, particularly in that first half. But Texas made them look like they were Steph Curry out there shooting the basketball, as bad as UT was trying to put it in the hoop. This team was Shaka Smart. You know, I said about a week ago that it felt like they were fighting for him. You watched them again last night, and you see them now falling to 4-7 in conference play. And what are your thoughts on just seeing, you know, UT and kind of where they are here on February the 11th, 2020, over halfway through the Big 12 schedule?
Well, it's not very impressive. I mean, they're just not a very good team, you know, and they may have stretches where they're playing for them and they're fighting for them. But really, ultimately, to me, it looks like they just need a reset button. They need to hit the reset button on the whole program as far as basketball goes. They just don't look like a team. You know, Andrew Jones was having moments last night where he looked like he was going to be the guy to try to bring them back. And, you know, it's always great to see him out there fighting and battling out there. That's what he was doing. But I mean, it's just not enough. You know, they don't, again, play together enough as a team. And there was too many times where they were down a lot. They didn't realize that they had to get some shots up pretty quickly to try to catch up. And they were just kind of methodical. And, you know, you're a product of your coach, man. You're just a product of your coach. And so Shaka's not getting the job done. Ultimately, UT is not where they need to be and not where they wanted to be when they went and hired him. And so something's got to change. And so it's going to start with him.
Yeah, it's at a point where, you know, just kind of feel like you know what the ending's going to be. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take you to get there. They were really bad on offense last night. 3 of 17 from three-point land. That's not even 18% shooting for UT. 18 of 59 shooting overall. That's 30-point. That's a 30% shooting note or number for Texas as well. So just a really bad night for them shooting the basketball, and they could not find the bottom of it to save their life, which is why they had their second lowest output of the entire season last night. Plus Baylor's defense made it, I'm sure, feel even worse.
Got a couple texts here on the Bush Chicken text line. Corey, my dude, said Baylor has the heart and defense of a national championship team with a Sweet 16 type offense.
Yeah, I mean, I was
right.
Asked earlier, you know, kind of how far do you think they can go type of a deal, and they can go as far as their defense can carry them, but I do worry about them getting into a situation where maybe there's a team that, you know, has some success against them and that defense, and they're not able to match points. I mean, that's ultimately what I feel like they're going to run into and perhaps have trouble with, but it's working, but I think everybody has that sort of
at some point
feeling,
the shoe's going to fall because somebody's going to come in hot, and regardless how good your defense is, at some point somebody's going to be knocking down shots.
Exactly, yeah, and it doesn't matter how good you play, you're going to have to match and score, and they are having trouble scoring, there's no doubt about it, so they're not a perfect team by any means, mm-hmm. but they're a really good team, and defense travels, and defense has been traveling with them everywhere they've gone this year, whether home or away. And that was certainly the case once again last night.
Another text here says, I'm sorry, but the BU-UT game last night was ugly, ugly, ugly. It looked more like a Division II game. And so I responded, I don't know if it was Division II, but it was ugly. And the last four or five games, to be honest, The last four or five games for Baylor has been ugly. There hasn't been anything that's been an impressive shooting night at all for them.
No.
And down the stretch, these last few games, that's all they've been doing is winning ugly.
Yeah, that's just they've scraped by. In some cases, they've maybe had a little bit more cushion, but the final score is not real indicative of maybe how close the game was or if the game was actually a little bit more in hand than it appears looking at the final score. But no, they've been eking them out, been playing a little bit too close for comfort on occasion as well. And it's again at some point.
I think Saturday is going to come back to bite them. I mean,
yeah.
I've been kind of circling that one. They haven't played West Virginia yet. They're going to play them on Saturday for the very first time, and I think that's the one that comes back to bite them.
It very well could be. That'll be at the Farrell Center. West Virginia is the number 14 team in the country, so that'll be a big game, and hopefully a big crowd will be in attendance as well. I mean, a top 15 matchup, and there's not a lot of ranked teams in the Big 12, but the next couple of Saturdays will be big for Baylor basketball. You've got West Virginia. Then you got a game against Oklahoma next Tuesday, and then you have Kansas in town. So these next two Saturdays, with one game sandwiched in between, really going to see how good this Baylor men's team is. And we've seen them play Kansas and beat Kansas, so we know they're good. But second time around, what will it look like?
Right.
And also, just your first meeting with West Virginia, knowing that they've been out there. But, hey, you got a really good defense as well. So that might be like a 13-10 game.
Yeah, that press is something else, man. That press, and that's what's giving Baylor problems, is when teams go to the press, especially late in games when they're trying to catch up, that has tripped them up. And if West Virginia comes out and plays that press the whole game like they do, that press Virginia style, that's what I have a feeling. That's why I think it's going to trip them up, and that's where they're going to take that L.
Very well could. I mean, we'll see. A few days away now, they'll rest up, heal up, and get rehydrated and all those good types of things. Go into the film room, scout a little bit, and waited a while to get this West Virginia team finally in a matchup, but they got them twice remaining, even though they've now completed their series with Texas. It's really weird, the schedule, that they've already completed the Texas series and have yet to play West Virginia, but that will be this Saturday and up next for this Baylor men's team. So number one team in the land, hosting number 14 at the Farrell Center, 3 o'clock to tip off. Coming up this weekend.
We got a tweet real quick from Pena. He said, I know the kid is coming off an injury, but Tristan Clark does not look mentally in the game. Excuse me. Last night was terrible. What are your thoughts?
I don't think he's looked right all year long.
Nope.
I don't think anybody's thought that he's looked right really all year long. I don't know about mentally. I know physically he's certainly been held back by that injury more so than you probably thought going into this season when there was talk about him being back and being available. Mentally, I'm sure it's wearing on him.
I think most of the injury is upstairs at this point.
Very well,
you know
could
what I mean?
Be.
Trying to get the confidence back that his knee is okay. But man, 7 minutes, foul out, no points. And Scott Drew, the ultimate optimist, those minutes were important, but you got to do better than that. He's got to be in there, and he's got to be some kind of factor.
Yeah, but I mean, here we are, and it's like, when's he going to be that? You know, we got
right.
A month and a half to the season's over with, basically, and he's had 2-3 months now to be out there, to get minutes here and there, to try and get mentally sharp and knowing how to bounce back from the injury. And so I'm not sure what all's plaguing him at the moment. Certainly some of it is upstairs, but I'm just not going to bank on him being that guy you think he can be at any point during this season, because I feel like we would have seen that at this stage. But, yeah, it's not at all what you thought it might be when he returned or when you knew he was coming back, and that's unfortunate, because if he was operating on a higher level, then this team would really be dangerous. I mean, they already are, but, my gosh, if you had a healthy Tristan Clark, a positive-minded Tristan Clark, this team would be not unbeatable, but they would be that much more dangerous. So, yeah, that's unfortunate the way that that's worked out and seeing him struggle the way that he has so far this season. Thank you. Who was that that sent that text? Pena, for shooting that text over. It's simple as that. It's 254-662-1660. You got a Cowboys text you want to shoot on over? We got Patrick Walker of CBS Sports joining us next. This is ESPN Central Texas.
The 2020 Baylor baseball season begins February 14th at Baylor Ballpark as the Bears open a 3-game series with Nebraska again this season. Join Derek Smith and Steve Jonigan for all the play-by-play as the Bears look for their fourth straight NCAA regional appearance. Every game, all season long, right here on the home of Baylor Bear Baseball, ESPN Central Texas.
We're celebrating President's Day at Allen Samuels, and celebrations and fun go hand in hand. It's the perfect time to have fun in a Fiat. And nothing is more fun than a new 2019 Fiat 124 Spider. The two-seater convertible classic roadster is back, and we're dropping the top and dropping the price. Now just $22,990. Imagine you, a convertible, and the open road. So come on, let's do Italian. The President's Day event at Allen Samuels. Come by, let's be friends.
Ask for details. Need to get away from it all? Do it in a new 2019 Jeep Wrangler Sport from Allen Samuels. With $4,535 in Allen Samuels discounts and $2,000 in Southwest bonus cash, Wrangler is just $31,990. Military gets an additional $500 discount. Wrangler has tons of options, including three-piece hardtop and 7-inch radio group. And check out our incredible lease offer on new 2020 Gladiators. The President's Day event at Allen Samuels.
When it comes to production print providers, did you know UBO Business Services is the only dealership in North America that is allowed to offer the top three industry leaders, Xerox, Konica, Minolta, and Ricoh? The compelling reason for this is the industry reputation UBO Business Services has obtained, that being the premier service provider of office technology in all of North America. Make a winning decision today and call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services, 254-772-1600 or www.ubo.com.
Celebrate Valentine's Day at the Waco Hippodrome. Bring your loved one to enjoy a prefix dinner with a live violinist and beautiful views of downtown Waco. And they still have a few tickets left to the Mortician's Valentine's Day dinner and show on February 14th, plus a Robin Williams comedy tribute with David Bourne on February 20th. Be sure to catch a movie, Birds of Prey, now playing. Tickets at WacoHippodromeTheater.com. Try the Raleigh Diner for dinner before the show.
At Marksman, we know firearms. Whether you're looking for long-range shooting, tactical, or specialized gear, the only place to go is Marksman Firearms in Killeen, located at 2103 South WS Young Drive. Buy, sell, or trade. When it comes to guns, ammo, and accessories, nobody comes close. So head on over to Marksman Firearms in Killeen, open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, visit MarksmanFirearms.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Steven Simcox with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. According to Football Scoop, Baylor will hire Houston wide receivers coach Justin Johnson as their new running backs coach. Johnson spent last season coaching running backs under Dana Holgorsen in Houston. Pitchers and catchers for the Rangers and Astros both report to spring training today. The Rangers will open their spring training schedule against the Royals on February 21st. Astros open spring training play against the Nationals on February 22nd. Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee reportedly wants to play for his 11th season in the NFL in 2020. Lee is set to become a free agent in March. It's yet to be seen if he ends up back with the Cowboys. In the NBA tonight, the Rockets play their last game before the All-Star break. Houston hosts the Celtics. Tip-off is set for 8:30. Spurs also play their final game before the All-Star break this evening against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tip is set for 7 o'clock. Mavs have the night off. They return to the floor on Wednesday.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
It's time to talk America's team with Patrick Walker from CBSSports.com, presented by Miller Lite.
And back here on ESPN Central Texas, just after 12:30, we're now joined on the phone lines by Patrick Walker of CBS Sports, who you can find on Twitter at Voice of the Star. And Patrick, we do appreciate the time. We've reached that interesting part of the offseason where there's a little bit of a lull after the Super Bowl, but there are a few headlines that are out there right now, and we know the Cowboys have a very busy offseason list. But Sean Lee returning for another year, although he will be a free agent in March, it doesn't mean that he'll be returning to the Dallas Cowboys. So just curious your thoughts after the year he's coming off of what you think the Cowboys' interest will be in retaining Sean Lee, what his interest will be in returning or perhaps for the first time in his career moving on to another franchise.
Well, Sean Lee's done a magnificent job in rebuilding his brand. If you guys recall, going into the 2019 season, all that anyone could talk about when it came to Sean Lee was issues with his durability and availability. And obviously, needing insurance for him was one of the driving reasons or the driving points and factors for the Cowboys drafting Leighton Vander Esch in the first round of the NFL draft in the first place. So, ironically, as the table turned and Sean Lee ended up becoming the insurance policy for LVE in that process over the course of his starts last season, one or two notwithstanding. For the most part, he did a very good job. I mean, he had a couple of banner games for the Cowboys that kind of defied his age in his early 30s, and I think that his value is rebuilt to the point where there are going to be a handful of teams that reach out to him that would love to bring in a veteran, former All-Pro or current All-Pro linebacker who can help probably mentor their young guard of linebackers, but also produce on the field as needed. Now, the Cowboys would like to retain Sean Lee for the reason I just stated. They're going to need insurance for LVE as he comes off of that neck procedure and off of injured reserve from 2019. And I'm told, again, they are very optimistic about LVE's future. They don't feel that there are any concerns for his long-term career in the NFL. However, it remains to be seen as far as that's concerned. So you're going to want to keep Sean Lee. They definitely want to. Sean Lee wants to remain with the team. It's just a matter of financials at this point. I think Sean Lee testing the market is simply him trying to see what he can get. But this is the same guy that approached the team last season for a pay cut so he could remain with the team. So he's not really looking to break the bank. I think he's more so just curious. Cowboys are going to try to make a run at him. And my gut tells me that he stays put. Mike McCarthy wants him in the building. So both sides want it done. I think it'll get done. But there is a slim possibility that we see him in another uniform next season.
Patrick, I've been so looking forward to talking to you, and I know it's the off season, so we're going to hear a lot of a lot of nonsense. But why for the life of me, is there so much debate between Tom Brady and Dak Prescott and Tom Brady to the Cowboys? What kind of nonsense does that make when this dude is 42, pushing 43, and Dak Prescott's a young dude that's already proven that he can get it done? Why is there so much of this conversation going on?
Bait is in the water. Bait is in the water. Headlines, click-throughs, people need something to talk about. You guys opened up with this segment recognizing that this is the lull of the offseason, right after the Super Bowl, before NFL free agency fires up. So what do you do if you're an incredible, and I have to stress that, if you're an incredible writer and or analyst and you're looking around and you don't have anything to talk about, let's figure out how we can get the Cowboys in the headline. Hey, the Cowboys franchise quarterback isn't signed. Let's use that. Hey, guess what? Tom Brady's also not signed, and he played for the New England Patriots. So those four things, that's like a perfect storm, right, if you want to formulate some type of clickbait. But that's really what it is. It's simply clickbait. And that's why Michael Irvin fired back with such potency, I should say, at those who mischaracterized his words and his quote as far as significant people he was having discussions with regarding the Cowboys and Tom Brady and Dak Prescott. At the end of the day, as I wrote in my response column on yesterday, it's not a thing. It's never been a thing. The Cowboys have never had discussions about potentially moving on from Dak Prescott, let alone moving on from him and then bringing in a guy in his 40s who, for all intents and purposes, yes, Tom Brady is arguably the best quarterback in NFL history. Yes, he has six Super Bowls. But you know what? He just did not look great last season. Mm-hmm. You know who looked great last season? Dak Prescott. So you got a young quarterback. He's coming off of a banner season. He's leveled up. He's shown you he can be the guy. Jerry Jones is all in on him. Stephen Jones is all in on him. More importantly, Mike McCarthy is all in on Dak Prescott. What I'm told and how it's being characterized to me is Mike McCarthy is not so apt to bring in an older veteran guy who wants to have things done his way. I think he got his fill of that in Green Bay, wouldn't you guys say? With Aaron Rodgers. So I think he sees Dak Prescott as a high ceiling, a top tier quarterback. He's young, a lot more years left under his belt. Mike McCarthy has a 5-year contract. Why would you ship out a guy that's already proven himself as your franchise quarterback to bring in a guy who probably has one more year to play? That leaves you with 4 more years to try to figure out a new quarterback situation. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. And it's not a thing until people make it a thing because they need you to click and read. So I had a good laugh at it this past weekend. I'm not going to lie. I saw it all, and I was like, I hope people don't bite that. And people bit it, and here we are.
So will we see those contract talks ramp up as we approach the franchise tag deadline, Patrick? And what do you think that final number for Dak's going to end up being?
I think you're going to tap dance around $40 million per year, average annual salary. Now, I have to say that for a lot of people who are focused on what the average annual salary is going to be, keep in mind that can go up and down or down, I should say, based upon the length of the contract. The Cowboys, they're really trying their best to get Dak on a longer deal, a 6 or 7 year situation, so they can marry it with Ezekiel Elliott. Obviously, 1 year is already out the books because they didn't get the deal done in 2019. But they're looking for something long-term, longer term. Dak Prescott and his representation, however, they're trying to shrink it just a bit because they don't know exactly when the new CBA is going to fall, what are going to be the terms of the new CBA. And Dak Prescott would like to have at least one more big money re-up before his NFL career is over. So there's going to be that's a key talking point between the two. But if it lands at 4 or 5 years, you're talking about anywhere between $38 to $40 million approximately. And for those that are saying, oh, my God, that's a lot of money. Well, the market has gone up. Now also look at the career year Dak is coming off of. And then look at who's entering the market right now. Patrick Mahomes is expected to get his deal done. Phillip Rivers is now on the market. Tom Brady is on the market. Jameis Winston, although not in the same area as those guys I'm talking about, he's still going to get paid somewhere. Ryan Tannehill, for example, he's setting up to get big money. You got all these big-ticket guys that are going to push the bar that much higher. So I think $37 to $40 million is going to get it done for Dak Prescott if you're looking at 4 to 5 years. Anything longer than that probably shrinks it lower to around $34, $35 million. But for that money, he'd be agreeing to, you know, 6 or 7 year deal. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And guaranteed money obviously is going to be a sticking point as well.
Patrick Walker of CBS Sports joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. Patrick, how would you prioritize the Cowboys' like top 3 to 5 offseason must-dos, coming up here over the next few months? What are, in your mind, like the top 3 to, like as I said, 5 or whatever, the top things that in order you think are of utmost importance to them this offseason?
Well, they took care of number one. They got a new head coach. And in my opinion, they did it the right way. That being said, point number two, you got to get the deal done with Dak Prescott. Now, obviously, the Cowboys want to avoid hitting Dak Prescott with the franchise tag, but it would simply be a placeholder because then they would have until mid-July to work out a long-term deal. So it's not either or. It's more so, let's put a pin in that, is how they will use the franchise tag. But I'm told that they're trying to avoid that for a couple reasons. One, they wanted to have the deal done a long time ago and not have it come to this point. But now they're at this point. They want to go ahead and get the deal done so that the franchise tag is available for use on Amari Cooper. They would prefer to use the franchise tag on Cooper as opposed to the transition tag because they have access to both in the final year of the CBA. But if they can use the franchise tag on Amari Cooper, that leaves the transition tag available if they want to use it on Byron Jones. So that's 4 points. You got your new coach, that's one. Lock up Dak Prescott, and their goal is to do so without a franchise tag, which is key, and that's something that I said that they needed to do. That's two. That moves on to Amari Cooper. You can franchise tag Amari Cooper if a deal isn't ready to get done anytime soon, and it doesn't sound as if it is because by all accounts, be it Amari Cooper or sources that I'm speaking with, the Cowboys and those talks have gone up quite a bit slower than how they're going with Dak Prescott. So they need more time with Cooper. Therefore, the tag needs to come into play and probably will. Byron Jones is going to be number four. And then for me, number five is kind of, it's twofold. I believe that the Cowboys need to do what they can to retain Robert Quinn. And I think that's equal, if not just a little less important than what they need to attack in the draft when it comes to interior defensive linemen and addressing the safety position, be it trying to, you know, strike that trade for Jamal Adams at free agency or just addressing it with a day one or a high day two pick. So for me, those are my 5 points. And, of course, I cheated on five because point number five is like 2 points. But, hey, work with me, guys. Cowboys got some stuff to do this offseason.
What would you be comfortable with? As far as Robert Quinn goes, how many years and what kind of money would you look like?
For Robert Quinn, you look at his age and you know, he's approaching the wrong side of 30. But at the same time, you look at the 11.5 sacks, and if you put him in the right system, I would be thrilled to see him in a Mike Nolan hybrid system. I think that that's worth a two-year deal. I think you give him a two-year deal, and at that point, you revisit the defensive end position, the right edge position specifically, in the 2021 NFL draft, and then you kind of use that that final year in that two-year deal with Robert Quinn to transition to whomever the new guy is. And the new guy might be the old guy, i.e. Randy Gregory, depending upon what is agreed upon in the new CBA as far as the marijuana ban is concerned, because things are trending towards the ban being lifted in a 99.99% capacity, which would, in fact, allow Randy Gregory back into the league without having to worry about that type of issue. So 2 years on Robert Quinn, you give me that, and I can give you some wins.
Patrick Walker can be found at Voice of the Star on Twitter, also over at CBSSports.com. Hey, Patrick, good stuff as always, man. We do appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always fun. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks a lot. There he is, Patrick Walker, CBS Sports, here with us on ESPN Central Texas.
And I just want to make clear, when I asked him about Tom Brady and the Cowboys, I don't believe that that was a thing. It's just, it's unbelievable that every single time I turn on the radio or every single time I turn on TV or any time I go to Twitter, that's the conversation about Dak versus Tom Brady and why it makes sense. And it, to me, makes no sense.
No, I don't even entertain it. I mean, it's so silly and means absolutely nothing that I will not even entertain that conversation, because there's just no point. I mean, you know,
it just,
like,
doesn't make sense to me.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense, so I'm not going to spend any time even thinking about it, because, again, there's no point to it. There's nothing that's going to happen there. They're not going to go, you know, throw Dak to the wayside for, you know, nearly 40-year-old Tom Brady, who's been in a system that's been successful for everybody involved. It's not like, you know, the Patriot way was all Tom Brady's design and doing. He's 50% to Bill Belichick's 50%, and, you know, sprinkling some contributions from others. But I do think he's a bit of a system quarterback in a way, just given that his system has been, you know, what we've known. I don't think he would just go to, like, the Raiders or the Cowboys and just be Tom Brady, you know. And plus, he's, like I said, you know, like we said, he's getting older too. So he's not even the same Brady that he was a couple years ago. So, yeah, it's all silly. It's such a social media conversation is what it is. It's First Take is what it is. And
but it's like, it's Golic and Wingo. Every morning the conversation is out there. I mean, it's every single day it's out there. It's ridiculous. I was talking, me and Carl were exchanging text messages earlier about it today, how ridiculous it is. But it's absolutely everywhere.
I guess I'm just not watching enough ESPN or not listening to enough of the conversation, because I've seen it around. I've seen it particularly on Twitter. I haven't seen or heard nearly as much of the combo itself. So that's interesting to me. I think it's probably prime off-season talk, and it's the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Right.
So,
it's,
hey,
convenient, yeah.
That's easy to get some reaction to. And there's plenty of people. It's as silly as it all sounds and as stupid as it all sounds, because it does sound stupid to even be entertaining the thought. There are people out there right now that are like, legit, will have a serious conversation about this with you.
Yeah, no, they will.
And believe every word of it, which is
and they're ready for to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it makes sense, but I gave it a little credibility just because Michael Irvin walked it back, but he said, like,
he did talk about it.
Significant,
yeah,
people told him this was, like, there was something to this. So, yeah. I mean, I thought he would have a pretty good, you know, feel for who's talking about what.
Yeah, he said those outside of the Cowboys organization, correct, is what he walked,
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I mean, he said it wasn't said, Jerry, but right, he said it was people that know stuff.
Okay, right. So, well, I mean, I get the Michael Irvin connection, and he certainly is embedded, but I just think, I mean, what purpose would that serve? Is the getting over the hump going to be answered by bringing Tom Brady in at 38 years old or whatever? I just, I don't see that being the solution.
He's 42.
Or 42. Gosh, dang. I subtracted 4 years from his life. I don't know where I got 38 from, but 42-year-old Tom Brady, even better. Yeah. So Michael Irvin making headlines. Imagine that. He runs off at the mouth and creates a story that gets a lot of attention. So he got that that done. Thanks to Patrick for his time. It's 12:50. This ESPN Central Texas.
Welcome back to Unnecessary Roughness. A Turbo Boost solid-state hard drive can speed up your computer. Drop by Prompt Technology in Waco today to learn more. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. It's crazy to me how much people are actually reacting and giving credence to this Dak Prescott Tom Brady thing. Like,
it's
even crazy. In the last
it's
5
everywhere.
Minutes.
It's everywhere.
I don't understand it.
I don't either, but the argument that I've been hearing is the fact that Jerry wants to win so badly right now that they feel like, even though Dak is the better long-term guy, Tom is the guy who gives you the best opportunity to win right now, and that's what Jerry wants. And then the other argument is, well, Dak's still not signed. If it was Patrick Mahomes, would he be signed already? Of course. Well, Dak's not signed, so there must be some question, which is not necessarily true, but that's part of the argument.
Patrick Mahomes, are we not talking about him getting a new contract soon?
So well, if his contract was up, like Dak's is up, then, you know, would Kansas City hesitate to pay him or whatever? No. I mean, when Patrick Mahomes is up and has to get paid, he's going to roll out a number, and Kansas City is going to say, yep, no problem.
Why do people seem to think the quarterback is the issue with why this team hasn't won a Super Bowl? Why is Dak Prescott first in line of, like, if we just change the quarterback, then
the quarterback gets all the blame. You know that.
I know, but, I mean, if we're really rationalizing this and thinking it out, list all the Cowboys' issues for why they haven't won a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott's probably not number one for anybody.
No.
And he's probably not top three for most people.
I think he had a lot of empty stats last year, though.
That's fair.
Like, this idea he had like an amazing season. I mean, they had too many games. The Thanksgiving game against the Bills comes to mind. That game, and I know it was in terrible conditions, but they scored, 9 points against the Patriots?
Think about it against the Saints.
They couldn't score against the Saints.
Yep.
They couldn't score in the biggest game of their season against the Eagles. They couldn't put it in the end zone to save their life.
Couldn't do nothing against the Jets.
I mean, like, he put up good numbers, and I think they had...
Derek Carr put up good numbers, too.
And I think they have bigger issues.
And we all know that conversation.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's similar to the talk when Romo was there. I don't think he was the biggest issue, but a lot of it fell on him because they didn't win big games.
That's true. That's true. And I do think Dak had some empty stats. Mm-hmm. I do think that he was, you know, positioned as being probably a lot better than he actually was in some cases. He was just overshadowed by... other lackluster performances on that roster at times and certain losses. But I just don't see Tom Brady coming into Dallas and just like, oh, but now we're going to the Super Bowl.
I don't either.
That's the insane part to me.
I think Tom Brady is a step back. Right now, if I'm saying everything is equal, I'd rather have Dak Prescott than Tom Brady right now, today, on February 11th, 2020.
Absolutely. I mean, did we watch Tom Brady last year?
Exactly.
I mean, my gosh, what were we watching? If you're like really ready, willing, and able to give it up for this 42-year-old who clearly showed signs of regression last year and especially looked even more lost without his safety blanket and a guy like Gronk, that was a glaring hole in their team this season. So, yeah, man, I just don't get it. Like, it's funny to me though how many people seem to be reacting to this and seem to really have some thoughts. And hey, we welcome all thoughts, and certainly if you have an opinion on it, then we'll welcome that as well. But yeah, just speaking on my end, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Corey, my dude, had a couple text messages on the Bush and Chicken text line. First of all, he said, if he's still 38, talking about Tom Brady, I'm taking his ass over Dak. So.
Yeah, I don't know where I got 38 from, but hey.
But he's not. He's 42. And then he also said, Craig, no one wants to hear what makes sense. They want to hear sexy names because that's what they think wins games.
Well, I know that's very boring of me, but I also don't want to live in fantasy land. You know, I'm like, hey, well, if the Mavs could just land LeBron, hey, it's all they need to do.
Right.
Just go get LeBron and pair him with Luka and Kristaps. I mean, that's not exactly the same thing, but it's not that far off.
Gale said, dumbest thing I ever heard. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, you really can't put it any better than that. It is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Got another text saying, thanks, Steven. Dak is ground zero for Cowboys problems.
Yeah, okay. Well, a lot of Dak talk, and enjoy it. So if you got some thoughts on Dak for Brady or the Cowboys...
Silly. It's just silly.
Michael Irvin rumor-originated story of the Cowboys perhaps being interested in going and getting a, what is he, 42-year-old Tom Brady?
42, yep.
Versus in his mid-20s, Dak Prescott, then okay.
The theory that Golic and Wingo have been floating is that they would... like trade for first, like they would, so they would trade Dak to like the
Miami.
Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah, for number
get
five.
Get the number five pick, take Tua, let him heal, you play Brady for a year or two, and then he takes over as your franchise quarterback.
So the Cowboys ended with Tom Brady and Tua Tagovailoa.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
All right, okay, sure, uh-huh, yeah, that would totally.
Which is not a guarantee. I mean, just because you go get a guy high in the draft don't mean he's going to pan out.
Yeah.
Tua might not end up being crap in the league for all we know.
No, he may not.
You know what I mean? He might not be worth a salt at the end of the day. Who knows? But at least Dak is already proven.
No, he is. He is, and he's young, and he's, you know, been growing with these guys like Zeke the last 3 years. And, yeah, that is such a – I don't even know if you can do trades like that on Madden anymore, but that would be a – I'm going to get the top possibly quarterback in the draft – and the greatest all time to replace my mid-20s QB. That's just, oh, man, got to love it. So if you want to chime in on that, 254-662-1660, 254-662-1660. Got some tickets I want to tell you about next, and we also have NFL news and notes. We cover three on the way. This is ESPN Central Texas.
We're fighting hard at Pickup Outfitters in our battle to end truck nudity. But it's not just about putting an outfit on a naked truck. It's about making sure you have the very best customer service. So we offer the Pickup Outfitters Lifetime Installation Guarantee. Over time, sometimes your outfit needs a little tune-up, maybe some tightening, adjusting, whatever. If you outfitted your truck at Pickup Outfitters, that tune-up is absolutely no charge for the remainder of the time you own that truck. We also offer free warranty assistance. If for any reason you need to use your warranty, you just bring it back to us and we take care of it. It just makes sense. I mean, operating without a promise like that would be like offering customer service in the nude. And if you've seen our staff, trust me, you don't want that. So do your part to end truck nudity by outfitting your truck, Jeep, SUV, or van at Pickup Outfitters. 220 Lake Air Drive in Waco, where we promise to serve you fully clothed. Check out our website, createacommotion.com.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realizing it's time to replace those old drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy five times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Does the thought of mice, rats, or other rodents taking up residence in your walls or attic kind of make you feel uncomfortable? Well, once inside, these unwanted critters can cause thousands of dollars in damage to your home. The experts at 855-BUGS can identify points of entry and eliminate them. They use a variety of methods to keep rodents out. So be proactive, not reactive. Let 855-BUGS ensure your home is protected with a free inspection and comprehensive treatment plan.
Honey, I think we got critters.
Visit 855-BUGS.com right now to schedule your free inspection.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
3-2 and showtime.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco. The 1 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Chapman's Bail Bonds.
Let's get it.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome into the 1 o'clock hour of UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Welcome back. Welcome in. Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Stephen Simcox. And before we get into NFL news and notes, as we do every day right at 1 o'clock, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Pepe. Pepe, you're on ESPN Central Texas.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I love this weather. First of all, we all know the biggest problem for the Cowboys is Jerry Jones doesn't know how to get out of the way of Jerry Jones. If you stay as the owner, not thinking he's out days, let his son run the team. They would have run the Super Bowl by now if he stayed out of his own way. His ego is his biggest problem. Jimmy Johnson made that team a success by drafting right, knowing the right personnel. Jerry thought he could do the same thing. I'm sorry, you're not Al Davis. He was your idol. Stay in your lane, Jerry. You get out of the way. We should win a Super Bowl or two. We should have been in there with Tony Romo. But Jerry got in his own way. That's the problem. And y'all have a good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Pepe.
I love the Al Davis references. That was great. I heard the sirens in the background as well. Pepe, be careful wherever you are. I mean, it's the same narrative, though, when you come to Jerry Jones. He's the owner. He's the GM. He's the guy who's calling the shots. Hell, he might be calling third down and nine. He might call that play if he really wants to. Him and Al are very similar, man. They're those control freaks. That's who they are. And, you know, Al, at the end of his life, rest in peace, he was a mess. He was a mess because he was still trying to do everything. And it's 2020. You got to allow others to do that. And I think Jerry's starting to do that with Steven. I think Steven and Will McClay and all them cats are starting to do a lot more than back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say on the Al Davis reference, that applies to part of his career and kind of running the show. It does not apply to the later years because he was as off the rails as anybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know what, Pepe, this exact conversation about Jerry being the way, Jerry the GM, Jerry the owner and all that, it's been going on for 22 years. It's been going on for 20 years plus, and it's still a conversation, amazingly enough. I was a young teen. This conversation was going on before I even hit my teens. So, yeah, I think you just echo the thousands of people out there who believe the same thing, that as long as Jerry's running the show, that it's not going to matter who you have at quarterback or who you have calling plays or whatever. It's just going to be the same end result, which is disappointment, and that very well may be true. There's certainly something to those mid-90s teams and the Jimmy factor. Switzer got a title, yes, but it was on the coattails of basically everything they had done in the few years previous to that. So since that's been over with, it's been pretty much 8-8 football, give or take ebb and flow here and there, you know, a 13-3 and then a 7-9 or whatever. But, yeah, Jerry running the show is always going to be problem number one in the minds of a lot of people. So we do appreciate the phone call. Let's get into some news and notes from around the National Football League with Q's Cover 3.
Jones took a big hit and it's intercepted. Quentin Dunbar is caught from behind at the 47-yard line, and Jones throws his first interception. Five coming after Jones, and he underthrows it again, and for a second time, it's Dunbar.
It's time for Cover 3 with your boy Q. Brought to you by Centex Irrigation, Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, Colby Carpenter of Keller Williams Realty, and Bella Therapies.
Right there, you just heard two of Redskin defensive back Quentin Dunbar's four interceptions that he had in 2019. Those four interceptions, by the way, led the team in picks. Two of them coming week four versus the Giants. That was Daniel Jones' first two picks he ever threw of his career. And earlier yesterday, it was reported, matter of fact, yesterday afternoon, that Quentin Dunbar, that is, was going to skip OTAs because of everything that happened last season with Reuben Foster. And I know we're nowhere close to Reuben, close to OTAs, but he's going to skip OTAs and he really wants to be traded or released by the Redskins because he wants, well, a contract extension. He's going into the final year of his deal, supposed to make about $3.25 million. He's been in the league 5 years, all with the Redskins, 9 career interceptions, 35 passes broken up. He's only 27 years old, and apparently while Bruce Allen and company were still in the front office, things were going pretty smoothly. They were getting the contract negotiations going, and everything was starting to roll along, and ever since Bruce Allen's been gone, everything has come to a halt. So Quentin Dunbar, as of yesterday, asked for a trade or release, and we'll see what Ron Rivera and company decide to do moving forward.
What a great team player. Absolutely. You know, already... Man, everybody wants that early contract change, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, sign this. You're happy with it at the time you sign it. But hey, once that couple years is left, then talk about how unfair it is and how you deserve more. I wish I could sign one contract like any of these guys signed. But hey, he's been a good player. It's an interesting decision for Ron Rivera to have to make. But I would get real tired as an owner and GM of being basically put out there every few months of like, you better do this or I'm going to demand to be here. Like, that would get so old. But
don't the owners
business.
Do the same thing, though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they give you a contract and then you're not playing up to the performance of it, then they ask you for a salary cut or they cut you flat out.
Yeah, they can. I mean, that's the nature of the contract. That's the nature of them having the money and being the ones to dole it out. That's why it's good to be the owner. And, it goes both ways, but I don't know. I just feel like every few weeks we have another guy's like, trade me or I want to be released or whatever the case is. So, from a Redskins standpoint, I'm sure they would love to have him. I doubt this is over. I'm sure they can work something out. I mean, the Trent Williams thing is still going on at this point mm-hmm. in time. So we'll see what happens.
Dunbar played in 11 games in 2019, only played in 7 in 2018. He's supposed to make $3 million
in 2020. Oh, did he not want a new contract then after the 7 games he appeared in?
But again, had 4 interceptions in 11 games in 2019, and so he did lead the team in interceptions. He was the second highest rated defensive back in 2019, according to Pro Football Focus, so he's got that working for him. But again, the knock against him is that he hasn't played a full season. Matter of fact, he's never played a full season in his career.
Then play a full season and demand a contract. You know what I mean, though? Like, come on, man. Like, you played in half a season a year ago, and you're talking about, like, how suddenly the money's not right because you came off a good year? I mean, come on, dude. So, there's just a... there's an interesting thing there of how Bruce Allen was actually maybe doing something good. But I don't know how Ron Rivera views the guy, how he, you know, sees him in his defense, because as good as he may be, as young as he may be, as much of a ball hawk as he may not be a fit.
Right.
So I'm sure they're sorting that out, and if they determine that he is, then I'm sure they won't hesitate to give him some new money. But, yeah, if you're going to make demands, why not to, you know, actually play a full year, you know, over a year's
right
time.
Show some consistency.
Yeah, show some consistency before claiming that you're not getting paid enough money.
No, I agree with that 100%. Sticking with the Redskins, and you mentioned Trent Williams, and the conversations are going on. Apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, they've had positive conversations. They have not met in person. They haven't visited yet with each other, but apparently that's the next step. And like I said, the communication is going really well. Ron Rivera's already made it perfectly clear that he wants Trent Williams in the fold for the Redskins next year. So, again, things are trending in the right direction. Now the next step for them is to meet in person and see if they can hammer something out. But, again, with Bruce Allen and company out, unlike with Quentin Dunbar, with Bruce Allen out, it's a lot better for Trent Williams and the Redskins.
Yeah, it is. And they certainly missed him last year quite a bit. That offensive line was not very good without their anchor at left tackle. At the same time, you know, he's getting older too, and he's already in his early 30s. So, I mean, guys can play for a few more years, and I'm sure Trent Williams has a few more years left in him. But, you know, at the same time, they need to start thinking about as much the next Trent Williams versus how long can we, you know, keep getting performances out of this guy, and now how good is he going to be when he's taking a year off? You know, he hadn't played an entire year.
Do you address that position at number two overall, or do you go after Chase Young because
he's a
sure shot? I think you
got to go Chase Young.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there's a top tackle either that is just like, whoa, that dude's the dude. You know what I mean? So I've seen some of the offensive linemen, and they all just sort of seem like you could kind of plug them in
me,
and out.
The sure shot guy is not always a sure shot guy.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could get way more out of a Chase Young impact type of player than taking the 50-50 shot on this guy being Trent Williams,
right?
Or this guy being Robert Gallery, you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that would be a risk I wouldn't want to take. And I know Chase Young comes with risk too, but I just think there's a lot of knowns with him that you're not too concerned about any sort of a bumpy transition to the NFL.
Exactly. Eric Weddle, he retired late last week while I wasn't here, and he's been a longtime safety in the league, 13 years, as a matter of fact, with the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Rams. He retired late last week, and he had a career total of 1,178 tackles, 9.5 sacks, 29 interceptions, and 4 touchdowns. And it's crazy, man. When he retired, one of the biggest things was he was so happy and relieved that he doesn't have to prepare for games anymore. He doesn't have to worry about getting ready for OTAs, any kind of training camp, or any of that. And basically, it sounded like, and I'm about to play the audio for you right now, sounded like he was just living in pain basically the whole 13 years he was in the league. So he was on NFL Network yesterday talking with Andrew Siciliano, and was talking about the relief that it is knowing that he could just live his life now and not have to worry about football and training camp and all that stuff.
Oh my! I mean, every day you wake up and you're in pain and just the thought of not having to get ready for the season and going through all that, those sprints, the lifting, the pain, the emotional ride, the grind. I can't tell you how invigorated I am and re-energized in a sense that I'm starting a new chapter. I'm healthy. I get to be with my family, who I've put on the back burner for 13 years, and I'm excited for that. I mean, not many people can go out when they want to in the fashion that they can, and I was able to do that, and I'm proud of what I've done and ready for the next chapter.
And now, again, that was like a 7-minute interview that he had with NFL Network, but, man, you could just hear it in his voice, just to almost to like, whew, I can let my hair down and just kind of breathe and relax and know I made it through a 13-year grind, and now I'm free to just do whatever. If it's coaching, if it's broadcasting, if it's chilling with the family, it's all good. I can do all of that now.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to be a millionaire in your 30s and having the ability to retire and not have any more of the aches and pains and bumps and bruises that come with the daily life in the NFL? So I'd be thrilled as well to be pretty much retired. I mean, he'll likely go do something different with his life, you know, coaching or broadcasting or radio or whatever the case may be, philanthropy for all we know. But yeah, I mean, there's the give and take. You're a multimillionaire in your mid-30s and retired, but at the same time, you've got the concussions, the aches and the pains, the broken bones. So that's the trade-off, and You know, it's like we see offensive linemen, they retire and then they shave like 100 pounds.
Right.
You know, they just get all that weight off their bodies. I'm sure he'll trim down a little bit, be feeling a little lighter and feeling good, especially once he starts to see his buddies getting ready for that training camp grind.
I'll tell you, man, I've been saying this for a while. I feel like we're going to start to see trending more players younger and younger retire after, you know, hitting 10 years in the league, 11 years in the league. Like, okay, you know what? This has been a great ride, but I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like, and hey, you know, hats off to him, but look at all the guys that we've seen retire. Talking about Andrew Luck retired. I'm a firm believer that Cam Newton's going to be on his way out pretty soon. Now, I know Eli played a long time and Phillip Rivers has played a long time, but it feels like these guys are smart enough to where they're getting out ahead of the curve. I mean, even Marshawn Lynch, he got out early. I know he came back, but he came back in little spurts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just feels like these guys have enough sense now, and they're making a lot better decisions financially where they have enough money set aside where I don't need this anymore. I could walk away and still somewhat be healthy and not have all those issues that you just brought up.
Yeah, I mean, he's 35 years old. He just finished out a $10 million contract mm-hmm. over 2 years. He's made $70 million in his career. So he's 35 with
right.
$70 million in
not
the
bad.
Bank. Yeah, I would think, you know what, I don't need to do this for another couple of years and just get more concussions and more broken bones and more bruises. So, yeah, I think that 35 is probably the sweet spot. It's just in time to turn that next chapter and enter your 40s and kind of figure out what that next phase is going to be rather than, you know, guys who do play until they just simply can't play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there are guys who just choose to do that because they love the game so much.
Right.
So I'm sure that that is a hard decision, as happy as he sounds, to just know you're not going to play football anymore. But it was good to him. He was good to it. And he was a really solid player.
Absolutely. My final note here for cover three, Ryan Tannehill, who is a free agent this offseason. He's either going to get franchised or he's going to get a long-term deal in Tennessee. And worst come to worst, he'll get a long-term deal somewhere else. And another nice contract for Ryan Tannehill. He has changed his representation. He is now represented by CAA Football. Got a couple guys that represent him there. The note on this is that that's the same company, that's the same agency that represents free agent running back Derrick Henry, who's also his teammate. So just kind of pay attention to that because both of those guys are now represented by the same guy. And sometimes when one guy is able to get a deal through a certain team with that certain agent, it's easier for the team to go ahead and get the other guy locked in as well. So just kind of interesting note that right before he hits free agency and gets that opportunity at another big contract, he changes his agents, and now he's rolling with the agent that represents Derrick Henry.
All right, very good. So appreciate that, Q. That's NFL News and Notes with Cover 3, a little agent movement and contract talks and demands, and it's the NFL offseason, that is for sure. We will take a break right here. It is 1:16, and this is ESPN Central Texas.
Nobody has a better selection of light and heavy-duty Ram pickup trucks than Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike LaPointe. Don't forget the umbrella and heavier coat today again, as we are looking at another very raw day. Temperatures way below normal. It's going to be damp. We're going to see periods of rain. High temperatures today only around 46 degrees. Cloudy skies with rain continuing tonight. Again, on again, off again rain. And some of the rainfall may be heavy from time to time. We've dropped to 42 and more of the same tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a 90% chance of rain. And it's going to be widely scattered with a high of 54. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:30 and 9 for your forecast first, plus check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
Your CBD store, the only designated CBD store in Central Texas, located in Hewitt. We've created a warm, inviting space where you can feel comfortable asking the questions you've wanted to ask about CBD. Every product has independent lab testing available. Our staff is here to help you find an award-winning product that's right for you. Come see for yourself and get back to being you. Visit us at your CBD store on Hewitt Drive next to Cafe Cappuccino.
What are you supposed to do when you pull up behind a truck that doesn't even have a hitch? I mean, it's like looking at plumber's crack. Do you cover your kids' eyes, look away, and switch radio stations? Hi, Jay here from Pickup Outfitters, asking for your help to end this embarrassing form of truck nudity. If you have a truck, at some point you need to pull something. It could be a trailer to haul stuff off to the dump, maybe a jet ski, a boat, an RV, a horse trailer, even just a bike rack. The point is, put a hitch on your truck's backside. And at Pickup Outfitters, we actually install more hitches than anything else. Whether it's a receiver hitch, a gooseneck, or a fifth wheel, we'll cover your aspirations to not drive a new truck. And all hitches are covered by the Pickup Outfitters Lifetime Installation Guarantee. So cover your rear end with a new hitch from Pickup Outfitters on Lake Erie Drive in Waco, where we're fighting to end truck nudity in Central Texas. Check them out on our website at createacommotion.com/hitches.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
UBO Business Services offers the best office copiers available. Our brand agnostic approach allows our business analysts to select the right multifunction copier for your office that meets both your budget and functionality requirements. www.ubo.com.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas, and we'll have Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com coming up in our next segment to talk all things Baylor athletics, basketball team winning last night over Texas, and of course, Dave Aranda continuing to make hires, got his running backs coach now, and recruiting always at the forefront, the class of 2021 now on deck, so that is where the focus is, and also, you know, preliminarily in some ways to 2022 and 2023. Basically, anybody who's going to be in high school over the next 4 years is getting attention now at this point. So we'll do all that with Colt Barber coming up here from Sikkim365.com. Did we have any more on the Dak Brady thing over there?
Yeah, we had all kind of good stuff. Leon, he kind of went in, and he said the – okay, list all the quarterbacks the Cowboys have had over the last 25 years. And they said, the problem is you're paying all these guys $20 million to play with no heart. Yes, they have passion, but there's a difference. You paid Zeke, and Zeke wasn't Zeke last year. And I said, well, I can understand that. I get that. And he said, Q, the players still have to play. They're not playing once they get their money. I'm cool. I'm relaxed. I don't have to make any more achievements. It's a good point.
So, like, afraid that Dak will lose that fire if he gets the big money?
Pretty much, you know, and that's what the history of the guys that have been getting paid, what he's basically saying. I mean, Zeke, again, he got his money, he got paid. I was pounding the table for him to get paid, and even though he had a decent year, he didn't have that I'm the best running back in the league type year. You know, he just didn't have that I'm an impact. And a lot of that had to do with the play calling. A lot of that had to do with him just not looking that great, but he still had a good year. I just don't know if he had number one running back in the league type year.
I'm not sure, Leon, if you could explain the point about, like, look at all the quarterbacks they've had the past 25 years, because they've really only paid one of those guys. They're about to pay two in Dak, but Romo was the only dude they paid. Between Aitman and Romo, they just had a bunch of stopgap veterans and failed project guys. So it's not like they've had a ton of talent that position.
It's true.
Anthony Wright didn't get some big seven-year deal when he was a quarterback in the Cowboys. Randall Cunningham, no?
You know, they did, like, the thing with Bledsoe and Testaverde, where they tried to bring in, you know, veterans, and I don't know what those contracts ended up being. I imagine it was starter caliber money, but they were short term deals.
What dark years those were when you were getting the old veteran quarterback. You were blowing through the Bledsoes and the Testaverdes.
Yeah, I mean, those were some years, but I just saw a tweet, I think yesterday or maybe the day before, from Quincy Carter talking about he had finally got to see his daughter. Did you see that tweet, Simi?
Yeah, good for him. Apparently he's like
getting his life back in order. That's good,
been
man.
Sober for a while, yeah. And is taking to social media, but. Yeah, he met his daughter for the first time. I think she's like 10 years old.
Right. Jeez. That's wild.
Don't know the backstory there, but good to see that Quincy is finding some purpose and some peace in life.
Yeah, do y'all both follow him on Twitter or something?
No, he just it's someone nah, someone it's retweeted like and it pops up.
I wonder if Quincy Carter was from like must follow.
I didn't even know he was on Twitter, okay. To be honest. I just happened to see it the other day and I thought, oh, good for him, especially when I saw the story and they finally got to see his daughter. I thought, oh, that's a hell of a story, man, so good for him.
I wonder how much he still has from his NFL playing days money-wise. I can't imagine there's too much of it left over because he really didn't make that much money.
Right.
And it's been a few years now at this point. Also, a lot of legal payments, I'm sure. A lot of that money going to lawyers' fees and things like that. But, hey, good for him to be clean and sober. It makes a world of difference for those of you who maybe haven't been that in a long time. You'd be really surprised by how clear-headed you are and how much different your decision-making is. But it's not for everybody. People can get into that first stage and they start to feel like all this guilt of the things that they did wrong when they were taking drugs or drinking or whatever. And the guilt or the shame, I think, is what a lot of people can't get over. And I'm sure that's what Quincy Carter probably struggled with, because if you think about it, it's your average person and they feel guilty or shameful over their drinking or their drug habits because of the way they treated a family member or a relationship that they screwed up. Or whatever the case may be, all the million things that can go wrong. Imagine being Quincy Carter and having millions by the cojones and an easy life work-wise, just playing football, and you threw that all away. So I'm sure that took a little while for him to get over that guilt and shame. He's probably not over, but just handling it a lot better. And I'm sure he's in a much better place now, even though when he was drinking or drugging or whatever he was doing, probably wasn't thinking so. But now that he's on the other side of it, like Ryan Leaf is now.
Right.
You know,
well, so we hear the story on Radio Row every single year. Just insert the new athlete's name.
Yeah. Then I think, you know, that's fantastic for him. So hopefully he can carve out a niche for himself or find a way to make a living that suits his talents and also suits his lifestyle now, because that is a different lifestyle to have to lead. So good for Quincy Carter. And going back to that, but I don't think we get on a Quincy Carter rant today.
Right.
But going back to the Dak text and all that, yeah, I mean, they have not had to pay a lot of guys really big money. So this is unique, and I know there's people that are nervous about it because this is an all-in move. This is, mm-hmm. Hey, Dak is your dude for, like, the next 5 years. No doubts about it.
Right.
So I can understand the nervousness of Cowboys fans. I however, will not understand the Tom Brady talk. I refuse to understand that Tom Brady talk. But
Quincy never got a big payday. His rookie deal in 2001 was 5 years, $3.3 million.
Wow.
Man, yeah, he didn't make nothing.
I mean, I would take that.
Well, yeah, of course.
Sure.
That is nothing NFL-wise.
And he only stayed in the league for 4 seasons, so unless I'm missing some extension he got, he never really made big-time NFL money.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure he got a lot of suspensions as well. You know, not necessarily by the league, but team suspensions, I'm sure, leading up to...
You think he may miss a meeting or two?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point there. We got another text on the Bushy Chicken text line when I was talking about Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and we got it from our resident Tennessee Titan fan. He said, that's great news for Tennessee Titans. Hashtag Titan up. Obviously, he's excited about the future of the Tennessee Titans with Tannehill and Derrick Henry both most likely staying in full with the team. And so I got to shout him out as well. He sent me a Josh Jacobs rookie baseball card the other day, and I got it here at the radio station yesterday. So shout out to my man Blake, hashtag Titan up. Yeah, appreciate that card.
Yeah, shout out to Blake, and I do appreciate the feedback as well. So there's a little Cowboys for you if you want to chime in. 254-662-1660. Coming up next, Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com. This is ESPN Radio.
Baylor Big 12 Basketball Saturday with Pat and John here on the home of the Bears.
The Bears back in action Saturday in the Farrell Center hosting West Virginia. 2:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 3 p.m. tip-off Saturday for the Bears and the Mountaineers.
Baylor Big 12 Basketball Saturday here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Central Credit Union is seeing 2020. Are you paying more than 3.9 annual percentage rate on credit cards? Transfer your balances today. First Central's Visa credit card has 3.9% for 12 months. Seeing 2020 financially clear means less stress and savings with your goals in view. No balance transfer fees, annual fees. We guarantee no hidden costs. Come see us or apply online at firstcentralcu.com.
Eligibility and application requirements apply. Member NCUA.
Hi, I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of my amazing clients, referrals, friends, family, and everyone that helps me out on a daily basis. for reaching a huge goal in 2019. Thank y'all so much for helping me become the number one individual agent at Coldwell Banker Apex. That is out of like 600 agents, 16 different companies, like a dream come true. This is a 5-year goal of mine, and y'all, definitely y'all, all made it happen in 4 years. I'm so excited. I could just pinch myself. It is such a huge dream come true. And a huge goal accomplished.
It's time to buy or sell your home with the best. Contact Amanda Cunningham from Coldwell Banker Apex Realtors today. 254-495-0338. Put Amanda Cunningham to work for you today.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fields, or look them up on Facebook.
Thought about buying a home but weren't sure if you'd qualify? NeighborWorks Waco has been assisting Central Texans in the home buying process for the past 26 years, and they are ready to help you. Not enough money for a down payment or low credit scores? NeighborWorks Waco has programs to help you get the best loan. Plus, they make sure you know just what to look for in selecting that perfect home. Call 254-752-1647 or visit us online at nw-waco.org to get started. NeighborWorks Waco. Homeownership the right way.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. The number one Baylor men extended their winning streak to 21 games with a 52-44 win over Texas in Austin on Monday night. After the game, Scott Drew said that the work ethic of his team is what guided them through a rough night offensively.
To win on the road in conference, you have to have player-led teams, and you have to have guys that are mentally tough and normally experienced guys. It's usually juniors and seniors, and we're blessed to have guys that have put in the time in the gym. They have confidence in themselves, and the team has confidence with each other. So I thought Texas really competed. I mean, I thought Shaka had them ready to play, and they got their share of 50-50 balls for sure tonight and did a great job on the glass.
Next up is a home tilt with West Virginia on Saturday.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. It's time for our weekly segment with Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com.
And back here on ESPN Central Texas, it's 1:30 on the dot, and we're now joined on the phone lines by Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com. And, Colt, we do appreciate your time as always. The Baylor men just keep on winning the streak now over 20 games, and last night in Austin, it was kind of reminiscent of some of their more recent contests of just sort of ugly shooting, not that great at all times, but defensively about as good as it gets, just grinded one out and complete the season sweep of UT. So now remaining unbeaten in Big 12 play, Colt, with over 10 games in and having not lost to here in like 3 months. Just your thoughts on the latest Baylor men's effort and going down to Austin to get that win last night.
And it just is impressive. And I know people can be frustrated with the lack of offense and the inability to score or put a team away late in games, really the last couple of games. But, I mean, they're beating consistently, winning on the road the way that they have. It is just – I mean, we've seen it with Kansas over the years. But this year specifically, the Big 12 is just not winning games on the road outside of Baylor and Kansas. And that – I mean, that speaks to the championship race right now between Baylor and Kansas. I mean, you look at West Virginia – as good as they can be at times. You look at Texas Tech and how they have improved, but their struggles have come on the road. So any Baylor fan that gets discouraged about a game last night, I get it. But then at the same time, you just take those wins no matter what, because it's not easy to do. And when Baylor was able to go and steal that game at Kansas and steal the game at Texas Tech the way that they did, man, it puts everything in perspective, because winning on the road is tough. Even if it is close games when you think it might not should be.
Colt, how much hate did you get for your tweet that you put out about Baylor ought to go ahead and take a L by now?
Man, I told y'all back around the Florida game, if they're going to lose one, just lose the Florida game. It doesn't impact the Big 12 standings, but just get it out of the system. And I kind of said it tongue-in-cheek, but at some point they're going to lose one. Mm-hmm. And I think that so much pressure is going to be taken off of them when they do. And I'm, you know, not necessarily – I wasn't necessarily saying last night they need to lose against Texas. But at some point they're going to. And you don't want that to be a home game. So if you get it to be a road game against one of the teams in the top half of the conference, Joe Lenardi basically came out before that game yesterday, said even if Baylor loses this game tonight against Texas, they're still going to be the number one overall seed. So it's not going to hurt anything in the long run, other than potential the conference championship. So if they do it, don't let it be any sweat off your back. Just let it happen and hopefully the team rebounds from it and they play a little bit looser as this streak ends. It's going to at some point.
No doubt about that. And they do have a home game coming up. It's against West Virginia, the very first time that they played them all season long. It's coming up on Saturday at the Farrell Center. How much do you think that press is going to frustrate Baylor? And do you see them continuing that streak after this game?
You know, that's something that's been discussed on our website amongst our members, and Ashley has touched on it. I'm really curious to see how Baylor handles it. I think that Baylor has the athletic ability. They have four guards who can handle the press. They have Mark Vidal who can handle the ball when needed. And obviously Matthew Mayer, whenever he's in there, can handle it pretty well as well. So they have so many guys that can handle the ball. This isn't like last year when there's one or two guys, or in years past where there's not a lot of guys that you trust breaking the press. There's truthfully four guards out there that can do it on their own. And obviously the preference is Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler doing that. But when you have two other guys that have the ability to, it just takes so much pressure off them. So I'm really anxious to see how they do in that aspect. Now, I think the more pressing question is, how does the offense continue to come along? Because until last night, the offense hadn't really struggled shooting percentage-wise. They had some issues putting games away, but they were shooting the ball decently well. Last night, they just didn't shoot the ball well. And I'll give credit to Texas as well. They needed that win. They're playing at home. That would have, you know, potentially put them right back in the NCAA field, depending on how the rest of the season goes, and give them a strong win on their resume. So, but you know, I just think that that's a good matchup for Baylor as far as the press goes. But I'm anxious to see how they do, because they really need to put a game together where they play well. But like we were just talking about, a loss is going to come at some point. Just don't let it be at home or against one of the teams that you're battling out, like Kansas, at the top or in the upper echelon of the Big 12.
Colt, so do you think they're really missing a lot of offensive consistency, or do you just feel like this is kind of now their style of leaning a lot on their defense and kind of winning these almost rock fights in the past few weeks?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're trying to do. They play extremely slow, so naturally, you know, the points per game is going to be down. But I think when you have a guy like Jared Butler who has struggled the way he has in the last, you know, four or five games, you need him to shoot well, because when you're playing those low possession games where basically your high octane offense comes in transition, when you're not getting that, you need someone to score from the half court. And obviously Freddie Gillespie was in foul trouble, Tristan Clark was in foul trouble, and you're playing Mark Vidal at the five against one of the better big men in the league and Jericho Sims, and that becomes a problem. But you need a guy like Jared Butler who hits open threes, and when he has the opportunity to hit wide open threes, he's going to be usually pretty good. But the reason he's been as good as he is because he can score the basketball whenever he's guarded, and he has to get back to hitting those shots. And when that happens, the offense is going to look a lot better. Obviously, Maceo too, but Jared's really what serves that entire team and makes him go.
Colt, what has been your thoughts on Tristan Clark this year? You know, a lot of grumblings, as positive as everything has been, of just he hasn't quite been the same. And you know, what's your sort of understanding on, you know, obviously returning from injury, just, you know, the struggles that he's had up until this point?
Yeah, and it's, I really thought that he was turning the corner. He had a few games there in a row where he looked more aggressive. Then last night, he just looked rough. I mean, you have five fouls in 7 minutes. Now, I will say that there were some fouls that were called on him that look pretty phantom calls. Now, whenever you're playing, you're a little bit timid and you're, you know, maybe tiptoeing around a little bit, that could probably lead to more fouls if you're just not playing all out aggressive. And I think that's what happened with him last night. But I think that you have to continue, or Scott Drew has to continue to play him, to let him continue to develop, continue to settle in. Because you get into the postseason play and you can't just rely on Freddie Gillespie to play at the five. And obviously, Flo Thoma has been limited with what a concussion or whatever it might be that he's been dealing with. But you need Tristan Clark to at least give you something off the bench. And last night was definitely not it. Now, what he had done in the previous games, the two or three games leading up to last night, was exactly what they needed. And you just hope he can continue to press from that. Last night was a setback. But I think that you'll see him improve. You know, they have seven more Big 12 regular season games left, and it was just pretty crazy to say, but that's where we are, and he has to continue to develop over those last few games.
I like to ask this question to random folks every once in a while, but just with all the success that Baylor is having in general, all their team sports that have been successful early and late now as well, how large do you feel like that Baylor brand is right now?
Man, it's massive. And we talk about the year of the Bear back in 2011, 2012, when so much happened. You know, the Heisman Trophy, the football team winning the football team winning 10 games, Elite Eight, National Championship, Big 12 Baseball Championship. I know there's so much going on, but this year, I mean, you're talking about 11 wins from the football team. They went to the Big 12 Championship game. The 2011 team didn't sniff a Big 12 Championship. And obviously the basketball teams are as good as they have been. And you have to match that, and you have to show Baylor needed another type of year like that to show we are one of the best athletic teams in the country or programs in the country. And, man, they've done that. Every time you turn on the TV, there's something being discussed about Baylor. Even if it's on the ticker on ESPN, there's something about Baylor. Baylor's on the front page of you go basically any ESPN page, they're on there. If it's basketball, even football recruiting, hiring a head coach, I mean, it's just there. And that's something that Baylor has never really seen until the last, really this decade, really starting with that first year of the Bear. Now Baylor's having another year of the Bear, or so to speak. They have to finish it off and have some more success to close out this basketball and then baseball and softball and track. But it is incredible where they are right now, and all credit to Mac Rhodes and all the coaches that have built it out.
Colt, don't want to throw you for a loop, but Baylor baseball coming off another NCAA tournament appearance as they open against Nebraska this weekend. What are your expectations for that club?
Yeah, I mean, last year was such a disappointment. You go in as basically the Big 12 favorites, or for the most part, you lose basically your top two pitchers early. And this year, I feel like expectations are lower, but I think that this team will rebound very nicely. They have a lot of experience in the bullpen. They have some young starting pitching. Obviously, Hayden Kettler coming back. You hope that he is finally ready to go and returns to form from his sophomore year, now this being his senior year. And then you know, offensively, they lost so much. Shea Langeliers, obviously, Davis Winslow. They're going to have to figure out how to replace it. I think there's pieces to that puzzle that are there. Andy Thomas is a big piece of that. He's going to be catching this year. So I hope it didn't impact his offense too much, but he's a big piece of that. And him right in that middle of that lineup can really help out all throughout the lineup. So I'm anxious to see how the young starting pitching steps up, how the middle of the lineup from a production standpoint as far as RBIs, not necessarily home runs, but guys that can hit with some power. You lose Shea and Davis, that's a lot of production, a lot of extra base hits that you have to replace. And if you're going to win the Big 12, I mean, we see Texas Tech put up so many runs year after year. If you're going to win the Big 12, you have to have good pitching, but you also have to have very good offense. And they're going to have some young guys step up, and hopefully Andy Thomas can be that guy right in the middle of the lineup.
Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. Colt, football scoop had it out there, and you guys followed up with it, but Justin Johnson, a.k.a. Juice, expected to be the new running backs coach, and that's really the last piece of the puzzle for Dave Aranda to fill out to complete this coaching staff. What do you know about Justin Johnson, and what do you think he brings to the table as the new coach in charge of running backs?
Yeah, I actually put this on our site, and there's a guy that I know, and I can't put his name out there, but that played under Coach Johnson at one of his stops, and I texted him and said, man, what's your thoughts on him? What is the team? He actually, obviously, Coach Johnson is an offensive guy. This guy was on defense, and I just said, what are your thoughts? And he said, man, he's like the cool uncle. He's like, he's not very old, but, man, all the players love him, and that fits exactly what I think Baylor has been planning on signing at this running back position. Just a guy that just recruits. He's a young up-and-comer. He obviously has ties to the Houston area. He was a Richardson Berkner guy that actually was committed to Baylor back in 2007. That was actually the year I graduated high school as well, so I remember him pretty well. Good athlete, had several offers from around the country. We wanted to go to Baylor. Baylor dropped him,
So hopefully he doesn't, obviously he doesn't have too hard of a feeling. It's an entirely new resume, but, you know, he is going to bring some life to that offensive side of the ball. I'm not saying Larry Fedora doesn't have it. I'm not saying Sean Bell doesn't have it, but there's a reason that his nickname is Juice. So I'm excited to see what he does on the recruiting trail and see how he kind of comes along the ranks as an assistant coach and being on the field with a bunch of guys that are, I mean, to be truthful, there's going to be some guys that are pretty close to his age this year. So it'll be a really interesting dynamic to watch.
All in all, Colt, how do you like the coaching staff that Coach Aranda's put together?
I mean, you can say what you want. If you have preferences, you don't have preferences. But, man, it's hard as far as personal preference goes. But this staff is experienced, diversified, as you will find. I mean, you're talking about a head coach, a former Power 5 head coach as your offensive coordinator, a former FCS head coach as your defensive coordinator, FBS group of 5 receivers coach who was an offensive coordinator. I mean, you just look up and Joe Wickline was an offensive coordinator, a run game coordinator for several years as an offensive line coach. You look at, Meatball. You have a guy that's one of the up and coming recruiters in the country. He crushed it at LSU, and you expect him to step in. There's just so much diversification, and then obviously Joey and Sean are still there on the field. And it's been really impressive to see him put together. Now, how does it all come together? You know, what's the adhesive that holds it all together? You hope that's Dave Aranda. I think that he had a vision of what he wanted to do, and maybe he didn't necessarily get, 1 through 10 of all of his top targets, but he put together a staff that he feels like is going to work well together. And you just have to hope that's the case because he has a lot of good pieces there that can do a lot of different things and have a lot of experience. And that's what he needs as a new head coach. His guys that are around him, they're going to be able to help him and kind of walk him through some things. And then obviously bringing a guy like Austin Thomas to basically handle a lot of those daily chores, things that a head coach might not want to have to deal with. If it's, working out contracts or if it's really heading up recruiting, he brought in Austin Thomas to do that. So Dave Aranda is going to really be able to focus on his staff and actually coaching football.
Well, we might dip a little bit more into recruiting next week. I'm seeing they're throwing out a couple offers today. So that continues on as they look to start on this 2021 class. And Sikkim365.com, the spot to learn much more about all the inner workings of recruiting and everything that goes on throughout the year. I'll be recording my podcast with Grayson Grunhafer a little bit later on today that should be up later on tonight for members as well. And, Colt, we do appreciate the time as always, man. We will talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. There is Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com. A lot going on with Baylor right now. Touched a little basketball and football. But Juice Johnson joining Meatball Johnson as the coaching staff gets finalized. So be fun to see, all these new faces and get to know these guys, much like we got to know the Fran Browns and the Evan Coopers and all of these those on staff with Matt Rhule over the last 3 years. But a lot of new names to learn, a lot of new faces to learn as well, and personalities and all that, which we'll start on once spring ball gets going here in just a few weeks, so very excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all comes together. I think they got the names there. They got the guys with the skins on the walls that you feel like can get it done. Now it's just all about going out there and getting the players on the field and executing and taking this program to where they want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, the talent should be there. The depth should be there in most every place, and where it's not, that's the head coach's job is to get that depth there. It's what Matt Rhule had to do. Art Briles had to do it. Jim Grobe, not so much. But like every coach, he has an area where, all right, that's, we got to go get to work on the O-line, or we got to get to work on the safeties or whatever. And Aranda went and addressed the safeties pretty much right away. That was an area, obviously, they had of concern or that needed to be addressed. So they addressed that on signing day last week. And yeah, now it's just rolling the footballs out there and seeing what it looks like. And for a first-time head coach, there's going to be plenty of questions. So we learned to trust the process with Matt Rhule and that it worked and that there was a payoff to it. And, obviously, Browse had immense success after getting that thing off the ground as well. Rand is inheriting a much better situation than both those guys and really is all being asked to just keep it going now at this point and take it to another level. So can he do that? That's the big question, and that's why Mac Rhodes hired him. So that's what we'll start to see as spring ball again gets underway here in the next few weeks. It is 1:47. We'll take a break right here. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on the John Morris Show. Holly Rowe, ESPN, with us.
And I kind of thought back, and the very last time I did a Big 12 Big Monday game at Baylor men's basketball,
The very next morning, I went in for surgery. And I remember working that game and thinking, nobody here knows that I've got this cancer, I've got this big tumor, and I'm going in for surgery tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. as soon as I fly home to Salt Lake City. And I just remember thinking what a surreal night it was to work this game and be there. And then you fast forward 3 years, and here I am back again, and all these people have my back and are supporting me. And kind of all that fear and terror and everything I had been feeling kind of bubbled up within me that night. And I just realized, man, I've been in a hard battle. I've had a lot of really good support.
Wow.
And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for all the good support I've had through this whole journey.
The John Morris Show, weekdays at 9 a.m. here on ESPN Central Texas.
An extra day means extra savings at Richard Carr. It's the Leap into Savings event going on now at Richard Carr, with savings like qualified buyers saving $11,500 on 2020 GMC Sierra Texas Edition crew cabs in stock, or you can save $6,500 on remaining 2019 Buick Enclaves in stock. Or how about a pre-owned 2019 Buick Enclave under 9,000 miles for only $33,900? Your local family dealer, they want a chance to earn your business. Great prices, free oil changes with a new purchase, and a short drive for priority warranty service all comes with your purchase at Richard Carr Buick GMC Cadillac. So get there fast. The Leap into Savings sales event at Richard Carr ends soon, and tell them you heard about it on ESPN Central Texas.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows.
Winter is here, and many of you realize it. It's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. At UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
You can have the most beautiful backyard with gorgeous landscaping, perhaps a hot tub or pool and a deck, but that view can be ruined without a fence from Pinnacle Fence and Supply. Pinnacle Fence can customize what you need: privacy fencing, chain link, ornamental iron, and even fence repairs on what you already own, or temporary fencing for commercial or residential needs. Pinnacle Fence provides various lengths of warranty on gates or fencing, especially during the wonderful but sometimes odd weather in Central Texas. Let us complete your backyard haven. Pinnacle Fence, 133 North 1st Street in Hewitt, or at PinFence.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. The number one Baylor men extended their winning streak to 21 games with a 52-44 win over Texas and Austin on Monday night. After the game, Scott Drew said that the work ethic of his team is what guided them through a rough night offensively.
To win on the road in conference, you have to have player-led teams, and you have to have guys that are mentally tough and normally experienced guys. It's usually juniors and seniors, and we're blessed to have guys that have put in the time in the gym. They have confidence in themselves, and the team has confidence with each other. So, and I mean, I thought Texas really competed. I mean, I thought Shaka had them ready to play, and they got their share of 50-50 balls for sure tonight and did a great job on the glass.
Next up is a home tilt with West Virginia on Saturday.
Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Tomorrow night, the Baylor Lady Bears will be at home at the Farrell Center. Much like the men, they're on a little bit of a win streak right now. 14 games in a row for Kim Mulkey and company. And perfect in Big 12 play up until this point. 21-1 overall, so now the two programs 42-2 on the season between the two of them, and perfect in Big 12 play between the two of them as well. But tomorrow night, Lady Bears are back at it. At TCU, Horned Frogs will be in town, and we have got a couple pairs of tickets, so if you are interested in attending the game tomorrow night at the Farrell Center. Q, what do we need the folks out there to do?
I mean, just hit us up. You know, hit us up. You can hit us up on the text line if you want, the Bush and Chicken text line, 254-662-1660. Obviously, that's the phone line as well. But just say that you're interested in the tickets and hit us up. Put your name and your obviously we'll have your phone number. But if you want to call in and be part of the show, we'd like to hear from you as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of things to discuss. We are going to have a guest coming up at 2:30, but we do have a little bit of time if you so choose to register via the phone lines to talk a little sports with us. That's more than fine, and if you choose to do so on the text toy, that is more than fine to do as well. So tomorrow night, the Baylor Lady Bears back in action and TCU the opponent. So 254-662-1660. Phone lines or the Bush's Chicken text line if you want to register for those tickets.
Do the Cowboys have – I'm still hung up on the Cowboys for some reason. I've been talking back and forth with Leon on the Bush's Chicken text line. But do the Cowboys have that dude? And what I mean by that dude is that guy – like back in the day they had Irvin, who no matter what the circumstances was, would go out there and be like, give me the damn ball. Right. I'll make that play. Do they have that dude who's just going to go in there similar to what – Dez did, even though I know everyone said Dez was disruptive, but did they have that guy just to go and say, all right, we need this touchdown drive, let's go get it done?
They have a lot of guys who act like they're those guys. DeMarcus Lawrence, for one.
Yeah.
There's others as well. I think Zeke's that dude. I just don't think that we've maybe seen that version of him in a while. I think he can be that guy. I just don't think he's or maybe where he falls a little bit short is he's not necessarily demanding in wanting, like, hey, give me the blanking football.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he would come close to that. I think, you know, Dak kind of pretends to be.
Right,
I don't really consider him that kind of a guy.
I feel like Romo was that dude. Like, I heard Romo multiple times tell Dez, like, hey, man, you're the best athlete on this damn field. Act like it.
Yeah.
Let's go get this done. And Romo had that kind of command over the team. I don't know if Dak has the kind of command over the team that Romo had. I think Dak is a damn good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He could do some really good things. I just don't know if he has earned the right or has the stones to say that, hey, man, let's go. You know, Gallup, catch the damn ball. Don't put it on the turf. You know, Jason Witten, step up. Let's go. Get a play. You know, make something happen or get on somebody's helmet and it's okay. I don't know if he's earned that yet.
Well, I don't know what he would have to do to earn it. I mean, at this point, you know, with some of their wins last year, that was on his shoulders. And so I don't know what he would – I mean, is the qualification that you have to go win a Super Bowl to earn that type of respect? No.
No.
So what would it take at this point if he doesn't have that? But even if he has that, he's not really – the type of personality that's very in your face or very demanding or anything like that. And any part of him that would be that way, I think we're not seeing it because it's behind the scenes. You know what I mean? But yeah, there's not that dude on the sidelines necessarily that is going to, you know, put his finger in another dude's chest and be like, hey, let's go.
I mean, when you got to have a win against the Eagles to win the division and go to the playoffs, someone's got to step up and say, we're not losing this game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know it sounds like, oh, well, that's easier said than done, Q. It's not really. It's not really. If all 53 guys on your team believe that, you know what, we're not losing to these guys that are beat up and bruised. We're not losing this game. We're going to the playoffs. We're going to be the NFC East. I just never saw that fire from this team down the stretch when they had to have that win the most.
And maybe they don't have it. I don't know. Maybe it's more behind closed doors and we don't get to see that version of some of these guys. It certainly doesn't appear from what we do get to see, though, that they have that type of a player.
I mean, look, think about this. Emmett would have asked for the ball 60 times.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, no matter what, we're not losing this game. If I got to carry the rock 60 times with a bad shoulder, we're going to win this game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you want to chime in on that, is there somebody that we're missing or somebody that comes to mind for you or somebody you think would be a good candidate for that? 254-662-1660. Let's get on into our 2 o'clock hour. Again, if you're interested in some Lady Bears tickets for tomorrow night, the text line and the phone lines open at 254-662-1660. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Lady Bear Basketball, all season long with Bruce Geetson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on ESPN Central Texas.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday at the Farrell Center hosting TCU. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday.
Join Maggie Davis-Stinnett and the voice of the Lady Bears, Bruce Geetson, for Baylor Women's Basketball right here on ESPN Central Texas.
At Bush's Chicken, you can always count on getting the best chicken, the best tenders, and the best tea at the best value. Bush's Chicken, simply the best.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Business online at turnerchevy.com for the best deal on your new Chevrolet. Stop by and see all the new 2020 Silverado 1500s today.
If you have a business or a school or a team that needs to put their logo on something, then let the pros at Mallory Screen Printing and Embroidery do the job for you. They can customize your logo on t-shirts, caps, dress shirts, golf shirts, winter apparel, and more. Stickers for any occasion, banners and signs, large or small. See more at MalloryPrint.com or call 1-800-433-2220. For your next custom screen printing or embroidery, check out their full catalog at MalloryPrint.com.
It's a new year and it's time to fire up the grill, heat up the oven, or get that deep fryer going to enjoy the top quality products at Waco Custom Marketplace. Hi, this is David Smith. And live crawfish season is here, so it's time to prepare, boil, and enjoy delicious crawfish, and give Waco Custom Marketplace a call to order your bag of their finest crawfish, available right now. Crawfish Boil Box includes 5 pounds of red beet potatoes, 30 corn cobettes, 5 pounds of sausage, and plenty of Louisiana boil seasoning. And make your order now for live crawfish and pick it up in time for the weekend. Let Waco Custom Marketplace be your one-stop shop for team gatherings, school functions, and fundraisers. And remember, the crawfish boil box includes red beet potatoes, corn cobettes, sausage, and plenty of Louisiana boil seasoning. Serving Waco restaurants and families since 1940, Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive, or WacoCustomMarketplace.com.
Hey guys, what month is it?
Month.
What's your favorite month?
Truck month.
What's your favorite month?
Truck month.
That's Socorro Family Ford. Come save on our full line of trucks and SUVs, including the F-Series and the all-new Ford Escape.
Don't miss Truck Month going on now at Socorro Family Ford, where our family makes the difference.
To the S, to the P, to the N.
ESPN Central Texas. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi, breaking news. The Red Sox set to name Ron Renicki their interim manager. The team's been searching for a new skipper following the abrupt departure of Alex Cora, following MLB's findings in the 2017 Astros sign-stealing scandal. Renicki arrived in Boston with Cora before the 2018 season, serving as bench coach. Meantime, the Associated Press reports MLB won't have a decision in the Red Sox sign-stealing investigation this week. The scandal overall will likely hang over baseball for a while, says ESPN MLB reporter Marley Rivera.
This sign-stealing saga and this scandal, it is a topic, or you just addressed it with the Baltinger case. It's a topic that is just emitted in every single interview. So we are very clear that this is one of the, you know, the number one of the greatest scandals ever in baseball. It's not just going to go away.
Marla Rivera on Golic and Wingo. NBA Pelican star Zion Williamson out the last game with a sprained ankle, scheduled to return tonight against the Blazers. NHL Edmonton's Connor McDavid, quads injury, likely out 2 to 3 weeks.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
KRZI Waco. K256BW Waco. ESPN Central Texas. Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills at Lake Air in Waco. The 2 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Wings Pizza and Things in Temple.
Let's roll!
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Back here at ESPN Central Texas, it's the 2 o'clock hour. Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Steven Simcox with you here in about a half hour from now. We will have Mitch Thompson of MCC Baseball as their season's getting underway, and we start to check back in with the Highlanders and see how they are doing. We also have a couple pairs of Lady Bears tickets for tomorrow night's game against TCU. If you are interested in those, 254-662-1660. You can reach out on the Bush's Chicken text line at that phone number and just let us know that you're interested. Or you can reach out through the phone lines as well and chop it up with us talk a little sports and get registered that way as well.
Got a lot of good responses on the Bush's Chicken text line talking about the Cowboys. This call or this text from the 254, Cowboys need to let Cooper walk. He was a beast early in the year, but when the games really started counting, he disappeared. And I followed up and said, yeah, I'm too familiar with that Amari Cooper. And then really good response. I would like them to make a trade for Mike Evans or maybe even A.J. Green. A shot, maybe he just needs a change of scenery. Also, I would look at Mariota as a backup because every time Dak gets hit, they scare because they have no backup. I would like he already said that. And then Coop is the softest receiver in the league, in my opinion.
Well, I know you're not going to necessarily disagree with the softest label for Amari Cooper. I mean, would you disagree with that somewhat?
Talented dude. Very talented dude. But he's, you know, there's moments where if things don't go Coop's way, he kind of gets in that little pouty type situation, and then it just goes downhill from there. I mean, multiple years I saw him drop the ball 18 times, 15 times, 13 times, you know, or just his concentration lacks when he doesn't get involved early. And I've noted it multiple times how he does not perform in cold weather games either. So cold weather is all bad for Coop, and so is it when he's not involved early.
Well, A.J. Green would be more likely than Mike Evans. I don't know really what incentive Tampa Bay would have to get rid of Mike Evans when he's their best player on the entire roster. A.J. Green, I'm curious to see, you know, what the interest level is in him and what people believe he still has left.
I don't, there's been a lot of Raider fans that have hit me up and was like, hey man, Raiders need to go sign A.J. Green. I'm like, for what? He's injured the last 2-3 years. I wouldn't give him some big time money, and he's a free agent, so he's going to look for some money. He's not going to go play for free.
Right.
You know, he's not going to pay for the veteran minimum because at some point in the time, he was a damn good wide receiver. But I just think that it's way too injury prone at this point. I would let that go ahead and sail, especially this year in the draft. So many wide receivers in the draft. This is a deep, deep draft, man. You can go get you a young stud, and he could be your guy on a cheap for 4 or 5 good years.
Yeah, A.J. Green had 6 1,000-yard receiving seasons in his first 7 years in the league. The 1 year he did not, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, actually, at this point. I keep reminding myself it's 2020. He had 964. But then 2 years ago, obviously not playing this year, so he's been a full year away from the game. And then 2 years ago had by far his worst output with 694 yards. Every other year he had been at 1,000 or more or just below that. Again, 2016 came with just 36 yards short of that. So, yeah, the last 2 years for him, a combined 694 yards, and obviously nothing last year. So
right.
I get the appeal. I get the name. But I'm just curious of what A.J. Green is still capable of doing at this point. But he would be a splash name.
Go get you a guy in the draft, man. Go get you a guy in the draft. There's plenty of, you can go get Denzel Mims later on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can get a young stud later on in the draft. And really, like I said, don't have to worry about the injury history or any of that stuff. Jacob and Colleen, who I know is celebrating that Kansas City Chiefs victory, Super Bowl champions, he sent a really good one. We were talking about, do the Cowboys have a dog or a guy? He said, if you don't have that player, that one player who could demand that on the team, and the coach has to do it, and the coach that just left certainly was not that guy.
Yeah, he was not. There was no doubt about it that his message had kind of worn on that locker room. You know, there's only so many times you can go to the well, and Jason Garrett, I think, went to that well a few times, and at some point they just kind of stopped caring, quite frankly. I mean, they can say otherwise, but their performances in the latter half of the year, especially when it mattered, they did not show up for him or play for him. So, yeah, I don't know who the not a cheerleader or who the vocal guy is in that locker room. Somebody who's in that locker room on a more regular basis would be able to answer that better. But certainly it wasn't the head coach. There's no doubt about that. It's not the quarterback. It's not Zeke, from all indications. He's a pretty quiet, laid-back dude. So I don't know who it is, but it's probably one of the guys who talks more than you know, most, but maybe is not backing it up, because that's kind of how it appeared to me. The Cowboys have some talkers. It's just that those guys didn't always back up
just not doers.
What they were talking about. Yeah, so, you know, hear a lot about the hot boys and all that, but it was the not boys more often than it was the hot boys. At least I felt that way this past year. So, yeah, who is that guy? I really don't know, and I'm curious if there even is a correct answer in that locker room.
Ryan hit us up and said, I think Dak is kind of that dude in the making. He's a lot like Romo in the fact that he's quiet, but I see him growing into that type of player.
I can see him growing into that type of player, certainly. Yeah, I don't think it necessarily has to be right out of the gates or that, you know, you can't turn into that person. So I think he's getting there. I think maybe, you know, him signing a long-term deal will make him that guy, because then it's going to be a no-doubt situation as far as who's leading the team the rest of the, you know, foreseeable future. So maybe if he goes and signs a 5-6 year deal, then He becomes that vocal leader and the guy that people rally around. But he is kind of quiet and laid back. We have seen, though, some moments where he's sort of stepped up and shown some of that leadership out on the field. But it's a tricky situation being the Cowboys quarterback, right? Tony Romo, for all of his good performances, he was as lambasted and raked over the coals as anybody, you know, whenever he slipped up or maybe didn't have a great game. And same thing goes for Dak. It's just the life of a Cowboys fan is, I guess, for the last 20 years, is not being exactly sold on who your quarterback is, or if you are, having a large portion of the fan base also disagreeing with you, as we've seen with both Tony and Dak.
Yeah, Leon hit us up and said the only player that had it on defense was the defensive end from New England, which was Michael Bennett. He's talking about it. That's a shame if a guy that you get midseason is the guy that is your vocal dude, or the dude who brings the fire and says, hey, guys, this ain't right. And unfortunately, we didn't get to talk to Michael Bennett at the Super Bowl. He was walking around. Us and I did want to ask him about that and say, hey, who is the guy? Is there a guy there in that locker room besides you that was the dude? And I would have loved to hear his answer, but we weren't able to get a hold of him.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. He had his own little radio set up. I guess he's doing a podcast or something like that. But yeah, he was roaming around, and you know, didn't he make some comments about that, like when he first arrived?
Yeah.
Something about the locker room leadership or lack thereof.
Right, so, he was the one that was in the locker room losing his mind. Yeah. And like, you know, what is this? Why are we accepting this loss, and why are we so chill about it and being upset? And I mean, I respect that, and I know a lot of people aren't big Michael Bennett fans, but at least the dude had fire and some passion and wanted to win a damn game.
I don't really recall that changing after he said all that either.
No.
I feel like he just kind of remained as is, so maybe that's the answer. Maybe that is just the fact is they don't have one of those types of guys. Michael Bennett appeared to be, and it doesn't seem like the locker room really reacted all that well to it. And that might have been just the nature of having Jason Garrett, Mr. Laidback, as your head coach. I don't know. I think we'll learn a lot more about this Cowboys franchise now under some new leadership. I mean, we haven't seen it in over a decade. So now for the first time in a long time, getting a new voice and a new set of eyes on that roster and that locker room. And maybe we see a little bit more fire just as a direct result of the head coach. But I don't know. That will remain to be seen. Certainly, though, there's a leadership spot up for the taking, up for the grabbing, if somebody wants to jump up and grab that.
Look, I'll just go to the team, and I ain't really got to have a real role.
Just going to show up and yell in the locker room.
Yeah, I'll just be the guy that's just fired up. And you're like, who is that dude? I don't know, but I like his energy. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be that guy if you want me to be. I'll be the guy that goes by and slaps everybody at the top of the helmet. Let's go! We need a touchdown, Dak. Let's go. And they'll be like, who the hell is that number 99? Don't worry about him. Just listen to him.
Yeah, I imagine there are some hype man roles in the NFL.
Yeah.
So certainly
the vet minimum.
That would, the vet minimum for like $500,000.
Right, I'd be all right. I'd be all right with that.
No kidding, man. But yeah, we talked a little Cowboys today. These funny Brady to Dallas rumors that apparently have just gotten all types of responses, thanks in large part to Michael Irvin bringing up the topic. But yeah, having a little bit of fun talking some Cowboys this afternoon. If you want to chime in, 254-662-1660. I tell you what, we'll take a break right here. We're expecting Paul to have some Lady Bears audio. We haven't been able to get that. We do have Mitch Thompson here in about 20 minutes from now. So just for the sake of staying on time and lining up correctly with Mitch Thompson, we will take a break right here. But if you want to chime in, 254-662-1660, you got a couple pairs of Lady Bears tickets for tomorrow night against TCU. This is ESPN Radio.
There's a reason customers drive from all over Texas to buy a Ram pickup truck from Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike LaPointe. Cloudy skies with periods of rain tonight, and some of the rainfall will be heavy from time to time. Low temperatures fall to 42 degrees. Tomorrow, rain in the morning, and some of that rainfall again could be heavy. Then we'll see clearing skies in the afternoon, and I wouldn't doubt if we see a little sunshine by 5. High temperatures top out at 57, and on Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 54. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:30 and 9 for your forecast first, plus check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
At Allen Samuels, we say that if George Washington were alive today, he'd haul away that cherry tree he chopped down in a new Ram. More towing, incredible style, and back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. And Honest Dave, why he wouldn't wait 4 score and 7 years for a new Jeep Gladiator. It's 100% truck and 100% SUV. Get big savings during the Allen Samuels President's Day event. No executive orders needed, because Allen Samuels is your friend in the car business.
This may be a tough choice. Will it be Jeep or Journey? Alan Samuels has them for only $16,990 during the big President's Day event. The all-new 2019 Jeep Renegade Latitude, America's hottest subcompact SUV, just $16,990. Or pick a new 2019 Dodge Journey midsize crossover with third-row seating, also just $16,990. Hey, flip a coin. Come by and save now at Waco's most trusted dealer, Alan Samuels.
Ask for details.
Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist Democrats want more control of our lives. Left unchecked, they'll take away our gun rights, confiscate more of your paycheck, and their immigration policy will simply be let anyone in and give everyone welfare. Pete Sessions is determined to stop them. A Waco native and faithful Christian, Pete Sessions is a pro-life conservative who once represented much of our congressional district. In Congress, Pete defended our gun rights, protected our religious liberty, and stood with President Trump to build the border wall. And when Obama was president, Pete Sessions led the national Republican campaign that defeated Pelosi as Speaker. And he'll do that again, too. Republican Pete Sessions, a true conservative who will fight for us.
I'm Pete Sessions, and I'll fight for our future, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Pete Sessions for Congress.
Okay, Valentine's Day is here again, and guys, you're not ready, right? At Morrison's Gifts, they have your solution. They feature quality local Texas and American-made products, like John Hart-designed handcrafted leather bags and accessories, grandmother's buttons, antique button jewelry, jelly cat plush animals made to order, and pre-made gift baskets. They also have six lines of candles and the world's softest socks. She'll love you for them, and so much more you can't go wrong. Morrison's Gifts, since 1979, at 4308 West Waco Drive, next to Jason's Deli in the Brazos Play Center.
UBO Business Services offers the best office copiers available. Our brand-agnostic approach allows our business analysts to select the right multifunction copier for your office that meets both your budget and functionality requirements. www.ubo.com.
Hello again, everyone. It's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Harker Heights and in Belton. And today I want to talk to those of you who are age 50 and older. Often when we get to the age of 50, our backs start to remind us that we aren't in our 20s anymore, and doing the things that we love to do can be harder to do. Back pain can get in the way of everything, from your work to your golf game to even getting a good night's sleep. But what is the first thing that we often do? We go straight for the pain pills. But what do those do? They mask the pain for a little while, and sometimes they don't even do that. You don't have to just live with it. Go to my website at syntexrehab.com and download my free report, 9 Easy Ways to End Back Pain and Stiffness Without Painkillers. That's syntexrehab.com, and you can click on the download that's directly below my welcome video. If you have any questions at all, you can chat with me directly on the website. But be sure to download the free report, 9 Easy Ways to End Back Pain and Stiffness Without Painkillers, at syntexrehab.com. Don't let back pain keep you out of doing the things that you like.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and I see that Tom Herman's having a press conference right now going over, I guess, the offseason and all the tweaks and changes that Texas is making. Saw the annual article today from 24/7 Sports on how talented this Texas team is and how next year's poised to be the year. And about the first 10 responses are all of the same vein. Oh, we're doing this again? we're going to do this again this offseason, given that we do this every single year, and every single year it ends up not being at all what it's predicted to be. But this is a sign that spring ball is right around the corner. Apparently, Texas is going to start up on March 24th. I can't recall Baylor's exact date just yet, but they will practice for about a month, UT that is, with their spring game on April the 25th. So it'll start March 24th and April the 25th. And they will have their pro day in April as well. What are the thoughts on like Colin Johnson and Brandon Jones and some of these? I feel like we're not really hearing a lot about the UT guys all that much. I do see some Colin Johnson talk. I do think, though, that a lot of people get mesmerized by his size and a few highlights and don't see like just how – I mean, talk about Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of has Amari Cooper tendencies a little bit where he'll just sort of disappear or – not be available health-wise. He had a lot of time missed with injuries, but have you heard much buzz about Colin Johnson at all?
Late-round guy. Later round. Not, I don't want to say late because late sounds like fifth or sixth round or something like that. Like third, fourth round guy, you know, something like that. Just not a guy that's going to be taking one of the early picks. But I think he did participate. I think he participated in the Senior Bowl, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, he was out there, and I mean, he had some moments where he was good, but like you said, he's kind of inconsistent. I think that's the best word for him is inconsistent. So he'll be a guy that's taken probably on day three.
Yeah, well, he'll be amongst a handful of guys or so. Brandon Jones, the safety, another one. Really weird, though, because like 2 years ago, you would have thought those guys were going to be first-round draft picks. Mm-hmm. And now I don't think Brandon Jones is getting any type of first-round talk. I don't even know what kind of talk he's really getting at this point. He'll get drafted and probably be relatively high, but I don't think first round. And Colin Johnson, you would have thought maybe was going to be a first round bound type of dude, but I don't know, the way these last couple of seasons have gone. That doesn't appear to be the case either. I did notice Tom Herman, and you see, with Baylor's success defensively this last year, what Iowa State was doing, three down linemen. Herman says they are going to play some three down. They're not going to be stubborn with what they do. But they will play down Wyman, according to our buddy Jeff Howe, who we'll talk to tomorrow, out to a wide shade with a five tech instead of the four that Todd Orlando was preferring. So this will be a little bit of a schematic change as well, which is to be expected when you bring in new coordinators. And that's what Tom Herman has done this offseason. So he's in the midst of a press conference for you UT fans out there, passing along just a couple of the notes on things that he's had to say. He's obviously talked a lot about their recruiting class signed last week. And Bijan Robinson, the running back, expected to be a big stud. I mean, the hype is there. Hopefully for UT fans, he lives up to it, because there are those five stars that live up to it, and then there are your Malcolm Browns and your Jonathan Grays. I remember when they got back-to-back classes with five-star running backs, and neither guy ended up being really all that great. They were okay. They weren't five-star like running backs, though. But there's a lot of hype about this Bijan Robinson kid, so he's going to get a lot of burn, it seems like, right out of the gates, along with Keontae Ingram and others. And maybe that's what puts him over the hump this year, and the defensive tweaks and coordinator changes and all of that. But a big year for Tom Herman, there is no doubt. He can ill afford to go, I would say, 8-4 again. I just think that would not necessarily be fireable. But it certainly wouldn't sit very well with their fan base.
No, and it shouldn't. You know, I mean, when he was hired, he wasn't hired to go 8-4. You know, he was hired to get Texas back. You know, and we've heard that multiple times, and it's become comical now. I mean, it's almost a joke. Like when someone says it, I'm sure Texas fans like, you know, they just kind of cringe, because how many times are you going to be burned with the same line? You know, and so at some point, stop talking about it and just be about it. Just go out there and handle your business and go and win the games that you're supposed to win. And for some reason, they just cannot get right.
No, they can't. So that's going on right now. We'll start to see more of these press conferences and whatnot start to pop up over the next few weeks, which would be fun to kind of get into that offseason routine and to also start to learn a little bit more about what these Big 12 teams will look like in 2020 with the additions, subtractions, coaching changes, all that good stuff. So Texas certainly has their fair share of all those things, and we will, you know, keep tabs on that. But to talk Texas in depth with Jeff Howe on tomorrow's edition. Kalani Brown, we talked about her yesterday. She was traded from the L.A. Sparks to the Atlanta Dream. And I guess on her way to Atlanta from L.A., she made a stop in Waco as the Lady Bears held their media session a little bit earlier today. And just a little while ago, Paul Catalina was over there. And Kalani Brown popped in. We've had, Epe Udo popped into a Scott Drew press conference about a week ago. And maybe there's some others that I'm missing out on, but I don't know. It's been a little thing for old players to pop back in and be a part of the press setting. So Kalani Brown in town today, and let's get a little bit of a listen. I know they'll have more coming up on You Make the Call from that Lady Bears media session, but here was the newest member of the Atlanta Dream and former Lady Bears standout and national champion, Kalani Brown.
Kalani, is this a new chapter in your basketball career? You're going from L.A. to Atlanta now, and what opportunities does this bring now?
It is. It's a new journey. I think that I'm really excited about the move, first and foremost. I think that Atlanta's a great fit for me. I'm back at home with all my family. And I think that Atlanta really has had a true five before, so I think that they can really work with me and I can get better at my craft and at my game. When I talk to them, they seem really interested in, you know, me shooting the mid-range and possibly the trail three. So, you know, she would never let me shoot it. But anyway, so, yeah, but they really were ready to pour into me. So, yeah, it's a positive start. It's a great start.
What's it like watching this Lady Bears team have success, you know, when you all won the national championship last year and obviously, you know, you're a legacy player in this program?
I'm kind of like a proud parent, you know. Them doing some of the things that, you know, I used to yell at them in practice about, you know, it just shows their growth as a team. And, you know, this team is special still and still dangerous. I have no doubt that we can get to another Final Four. I've applied the pressure that we need this Final Four because it's in New Orleans, it's in my city. So if you're not going to do it for me, you know. So I've already relayed that to the girls, and they know the seriousness of that. But yeah, we are so much more dangerous. We have so much more in our arsenal. We didn't have the 3-point shot last year. So I'm thinking, you know, Juicy goes out there and hits that record, and I'm just like, wow. You know, like, imagine if we would have had that in the national championship. We probably would have won by more than 1 point. You know, it would have been a little less stressful. Now, we still go inside out, but I think that having that 3-point shot is, that perimeter is so much more dangerous when you have both.
Kalani, I think that so many people don't understand the impact of having 2 and 3 defenders collapse on you, and that's what they're doing now to Lauren, which makes it much harder for her. Any advice you could give to her as far as how to get through that?
Pray.
And she's a great passer. She sees the floor well.
Well, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, if there's 3 of them on me, somebody's open. And, you know, Didi, through the tournament, Didi really shined with that cutting to the basket and getting those points. So I just think as long as they keep moving the ball and she sees that cutter and now we have that backside shooter that can hit that shot, you know. So they can't, not too many teams can really double team like that because, you know, you have to give up that 3 or that cutter. You know, Didi's always in the lane. She has a nose for the ball. So that's why I say we're more dangerous.
Couple more. Did you expect to get traded? Did they talk to you about that in the offseason or like when the season ended, or did it kind of come out of the blue?
It was kind of out of the blue. The day before, I got a call from my agent saying that that LA wanted to trade me, and then soon after, I got a call from the GM and the coaches, and they were just thanking me for everything that I've done. But my coach put me, he said, family's important, so I wanted to put you somewhere where you were comfortable, somewhere where you could get better. So, you know, I can't thank LA enough for that because not many coaches are that generous, or GMs aren't that generous. So just for them to put me in a spot where I could truly, like, get better is, I can't thank them enough for that.
Kalani, was that first year, was that just a learning experience for you? What did you get out of that rookie season?
I had so many vets around me, from Candace Parker, Elena Beer, she just retired. I didn't know she was from Shreveport, but she is. So I had so many vets around me, and just learning how the game is played, and I feel like I was a freshman again. You know, this game is a lot quicker than the college game was. So now I'm like, okay, now I got to adjust to this. But they were there every step of the way whenever I had road questions. What do we do on the road? Because it's quite different, you know. Charter flights, we don't have that, you know, different things, different changes. I think I'm really spoiled, but, you know, they helped me through that, and they were just great vets all around.
So there is Kalani Brown, former Lady Bears standout on that national championship team last year and now in the pros, and was drafted relatively highly by the LA Sparks, only to be traded earlier this week to the Atlanta Dream. So we do appreciate the fellas for getting on over to the media session, and I know that they'll have, like, Scott Drew one-on-one with Smokey coming up, and also probably more of that Lady Bears media session as well, but kind of a different treat to have a former player like they had, what, a week or two ago with Epe Udo joining Scott Drew at the podium. So, yeah, there's Kalani Brown and kind of updating people on what she's been up to.
Could you imagine Kim Mulkey's face if Kalani Brown started casting some three-pointers?
Yeah, wouldn't be good.
Coach would be so angry if she started casting some three-pointers. Remember, she used to always say, I ain't going to shoot no three-pointers when I got all that size down low. I ain't no fool. And, oh, man, if Kalani had just gone ahead and gone out there by the three-point line and just started casting away, oh, Coach would have been angry.
I would love to have seen that. I would love
just
to have
once,
seen,
right?
Yeah, not her shooting it, but just Kim Mulkey's reaction to it. Yeah, that's more Juicy's job or yeah. Others. Who
that's
are more...
half the game, though, dog. If you go to the game, half the game, and at least I catch myself all the time, depending on what's happening with the game, I'll look over to see what the face that Coach Mulkey's making. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's like a bad turnover or something, you just know, like, oh, Coach ain't going to be happy about that. And you look over and she's hitting herself in the head or she's taking her jacket off or getting angry and they're up 35. But it's always great to see her antics.
She is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. She's very animated and cares a lot. And that's why they have the success that they do. She's the best in the business. And there's only really like one, maybe two names you could even throw in the ring with her as far as current college coaches go. Geno's obviously the go-to, but
Geno's trying to figure out what the hell's going on with his team this year, ain't they?
And right now, it's
they're getting blown out the water.
Not great for UConn women's basketball. They're not having that same type of dominance that they've had for so long. But that's really been kind of happening now for the last 2-3 years, where they've been showing some cracks in the armor. I did want to pass this along on a completely separate note. Marwin Gonzalez, former Astro, he is doing a press conference and. He's obviously, you know, moved on from the Astros organization, but he was a part of that 2017 World Series team. He's now with the Minnesota Twins, and what's of interest here is that he has just flat out came out and just fully apologized for the sign-stealing scandal and acknowledged it and acknowledged the roles of guys. And, I mean, he's not saying like, hey, Jose Altuve did this, but he is just full out just apologizing for what the Astros did. He's the first position player from that team to say anything about the 2017 season and the cheating scandal that's ensued. He said, I'm remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, for everything that we did as a group, and for the players that were affected directly by us doing this. That's why I feel more regret, and that's why I'm remorseful. So,
and he'll be the first one forgiven.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah,
normally,
much.
When you come out and just own it and say, hey, my bad, I screwed up, I did this, I'm remorseful, whatever. It usually goes over a lot better than denying it.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody was really denying it too much at this point. Even fans were kind of like, okay, it happened. They're just what you're seeing more of is fans are like, yeah, so what? And we still got a World Series, you know, that right. kind of thing. But
the Astros did act kind of smudge about it, like whatever.
They tried to be very smug, don't worry about us over here. Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything wrong. And it's been very clear they did a lot wrong. And it's very clear now when you have Marwin Gonzalez coming out and saying what he's saying, that they were very much guilty and very much deserving of being punished and very much in cahoots during that 2017 season, at least, because otherwise, what are you apologizing for? And you haven't seen really anybody from the Astros really dig their heels in and try to defend it. They're just kind of remaining quiet and mm-hmm. letting people blast away. So Marwin Gonzalez, now with the Twins, coming out today and apologizing for his role with the Astros cheating scandal. It's 2:30. Coming up next, maybe that's something we talk about with Mitch Thompson, MCC head baseball coach. They're getting underway, and we will talk to him about this year's Highlanders and also some other things from baseball. This is ESPN Radio.
The 2020 Baylor baseball season begins February 14th at Baylor Ballpark as the Bears open a three-game series with Nebraska again this season. Join Derek Smith and Steve Jonigan for all the play-by-play as the Bears look for their fourth straight NCAA regional appearance. Every game, all season long. Right here on the home of Baylor Bear Baseball, ESPN Central Texas.
Qualifications and rules apply. See Genco FCU for details.
Ask for Kasasa.
Warning, free Genco Kasasa checking may lead to a rise in disposable income due to cash back on everyday debit card purchases, refunds on ATM fees, and eliminations of so-called service fees. Increased satisfaction may result while operating your Genco debit card. If you suffer from chronic money loss, search for help at any Genco branch office. This has been a financial health advisory, courtesy of Genco FCU. It's like money medicine for your shopping habit.
At Bush's Chicken, you can always count on getting the best chicken, the best tenders, and the best tea at the best value. Bush's Chicken, simply the best.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slavocic Sausage in West. Former Hornets forward Michael Kidd-Gilchrist has agreed to sign with the Mavericks. A source said the Mavs have released shooting guard Ryan Brokoff, who shot 40.3% from three-point range in 59 games over two seasons, to create a roster spot for Kidd-Gilchrist, who was the number two pick in the 2012 draft. The Atlanta Dream acquired center and former Baylor star Kalani Brown from the Los Angeles Sparks on Monday in exchange for guard Brittany Sykes and center Marie Gulich. Brown, selected by the Sparks with a seventh overall pick in 2019, is averaging 5.1 points and 3.5 rebounds in 28 regular season games. At 6'7", she becomes the tallest player on the Dream's roster. And in the NBA tonight, the Spurs are on the road in OKC and the Rockets host the Celtics.
Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and despite what the weather looks like outside, it is officially baseball season. We got pitchers and catchers reporting, spring training starting to get underway, and the MCC Highlanders have already gotten underway, completing a sweep of Angelina here over the last few days. And joining us now on the phone lines to talk for the first time in quite a while is MCC head baseball coach Mitch Thompson. And coach, how you doing? It's been, like I said, a little while since we talked to you. How was the off season and getting back to some baseball action?
Well, thanks for having us on, guys. Great to be back with y'all. Yeah, we're rocking and rolling. Already played seven ball games and 2 weeks into our season, so we're just trying to stay dry here this week, and we're not doing a very good job of it. You might need to send a boat over here sometime soon. We're gonna we got standing water on the field, and we're just trying to get as much work done as we can in preparation for what's next.
Well, coach, you're 7-0 to start the season off, number three in the polls. What is your early assessment of this year's team?
Well, I really like our club. I think we've got a pretty veteran ball club. The guys' maturity levels and, you know, kind of the way that they go about their work every day has been outstanding. I mean, we're a talented team both on the offensive side of things and on the mound as well. And, we're going to have a lot of guys that get a lot of attention. We've already got 10 guys that have signed off of this ball club to go play Division I baseball next year already.
Wow.
I think there'll be another 4, 5, or 6 that'll figure that out where they're going from here, later on this spring. But we're getting a lot of pro attention as well. The pro scouts are kind of all over us right now, and it's been a lot of fun.
Coach, not to deviate from baseball too much, but following you on Twitter, I noticed during this playoff run that you're a big Chiefs fan. So what was it like watching Kansas City win it all?
Man, it was glorious. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big Chiefs fan. I've been a Chiefs fan my entire life. Mm, I was a Chiefs fan before it was cool to be a Chiefs fan.
Right.
That's right. That's right, Q. That's right. It goes all the way back to when your Raiders used to beat us all the time. But that hasn't happened for a while. So,
ouch.
It was really great. It was a lot of fun, and I had a blast with it. It was just really cool. I couldn't believe it. You know, first off, I've never seen it in my whole life to get to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and that was cool. And then to see him come back and win was even better. So it's cool.
Did you ever get a chance to see Patrick Mahomes, the baseball player?
I think I've saw him when he was in high school a couple times. You know, talented kid, obviously athletic, but I don't remember a ton about it.
Right.
But I'm sure I was at a couple of the events that he was at, yes. He's pretty special dude, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, to say the least. Coach, just in terms of this year's team and the roster that you have and all that, you mentioned all the guys who've already signed to go on and play the next level. What kind of a mixture do you have? Obviously, being JUCO ball, you don't get like a 4 full years with these guys, so it's a little bit different there. But just what's sort of the makeup of this year's Highlanders team?
Well, you know, we've got, every year you're going to lose half your team or more. And so you just got to continue to replenish and replace and recruit. And, you know, my coaches have done a great job of helping and going out and make good decisions, bringing in the right type of kids. And, you know, we returned our four best hitters off of last year's team. Jalen Battles, Cole Moore, Brett Squires, and Garrett Martin are all back. And all of have got, you know, great situations going for them where they're going from here. All have pro aspirations while they're here, and you know are all really big parts of our puzzle. But we've also got some really talented young freshmen position players that have come in here and come in and joined our club. We've got a few transfers as well that have done great. And then on the pitching staff, we lost the majority of our pitching. I mean, we only returned really two guys that got significant innings for us last year. So we had to replace a lot of it, and we filled those voids, a lot of it with Division I transfer guys. And then we've got what we think is the best junior college arm in the country in Connor Phillips. You know, he's been ranked as the number one professional prospect in the country in junior college baseball, and been drawing a whole lot of attention every time he gets a chance to throw the ball, and he's been very good for us. And so, you know, we've got a bunch of talented guys, and so our pitching staff goes about 13 deep of guys who are capable of running the ball up there at 90 miles an hour. And so we've got competition on this field just to get on the field for us. And so it's a great situation for us as coaches because we can keep everybody hungry. We just got to make sure that our culture is good and that we're all pulling in the same direction. If we all are, then we'll win a lot of games as we go through this thing if we can stay healthy and stay together.
Craig mentioned the sweep of Angelina this weekend. You have the San Jacinto tournament. What are you looking at as far as Alvin, San Jacinto? I mean, how are you thinking that MCC stacks up against these guys?
Well, seriously, what we do with our non-conference, you guys know this, is we just try and strap it on as tough as we can. Every year we're trying to play the best junior college schedule that we can play. And so, you know, we opened up with Midland, who was the champion of the Western Conference last year. We'll play New Mexico, who finished second, I think, in the West last year and then ended up winning the region tournament. We'll get them a little later. Angelina and Navarro are the two best in the East. We've played Angelina four. We've got Navarro three games a week from now. And then San Jack and Alvin and Blinn are the three best down in the West or in the South. And we're obviously going down to play San Jack twice this weekend and Alvin twice. This weekend we'll have Blinn a couple times later in the year, and so, you know, we're just trying to play the very best schedule we can. We're not padding our stats. We're not padding our record. We're trying to be challenged, and Angelina provided us with that challenge this week, and we're sure that San Jack and Alvin will give us great challenges, and hopefully we can come out on top. But you know, when you're playing the best people, it's not always going to happen that way. We're going to take some losses. We're going to get punched in the mouth, and it'll be fun to see us respond. We were challenged at Angelina this last weekend when we went there and really had to fight through some adversity and overcome some stuff. And we did, and it was exciting to see, you know, the team really pull together. So we're growing as a club, but we've got a really difficult schedule ahead of us before we start conference, and we're just trying to take them one game at a time right now.
In your last five games, your pitching staff has been holding opponents to three runs or less. Is that just a whole staff effort, Coach, or have there been some guys in particular that have stepped up lately?
Well, you know, the thing is that this early in the year, our guys right now are on about this next week will be on about a 75-pitch count is what our starters will be on. That'll be the top end of it. So, yeah, we're 12, 13 pitchers into the season of getting chances to guys go out there. Our pitch count is so low that we're having to continue to run other guys out there and other guys out there to get through the ball games. And that's what we know we're going to have to do, but it's preparing us for later in the year. Connor Phillips has been good. Dawson Sweat was outstanding this last weekend. Riggs Threadgill, Mason Hilton are kind of our other starters. They've been very good, but we've got a talented deep bullpen, and, you know, we've just got to continue to figure out the right roles for everybody. Who's going to, you know, who's going to be able to get left-handed hitters out? Who's going to be able to get right-handers out? Who does this a little better than that? And, you know, who can come in with runners on base and get out of a jam, and who needs to start an inning with a clean inning? You know, we're trying to learn all those things now before we start conference. And, you know, James Leverton does our pitching. He's our pitching coach. He's done a great job. He's been with me now for 5 years, and he's really good with what he does. And all credit to him as to how he's continued to develop these pitchers. Tyler Johnson, Peter Stark are other assistants that are helping there. And then Taylor Anderson is helping us with the offense, helping me with the offense, and he's done a great job there too. So our coaches are really doing a good job. But we've got really talented players, and I just really encourage the folks that when they get a chance to come see us, number one, I think they'll enjoy the weather and the day when they get out here to our ballpark. It's a nice little environment, but they'll sure enjoy the play on the field, hopefully, and we can play well, and they'll like the talent, and it'll be a lot of fun.
No doubt. We got MCC head baseball coach Mitch Thompson here with us on ESPN Central Texas. They're a couple weeks into the season now, and we'll be starting conference play in about a month, but some tough games before then. Coach, whenever you're on with us, we sometimes ask you some questions just outside of your program, just baseball related. And I had to ask you for your thoughts on the Astros scandal this offseason, the sign stealing. We just made mention that Marwin Gonzalez is now with the Twins. In his, I guess, first media availability, he came out with an apology for, you know, what role he played. But just as a baseball guy, you know that there's ways that, you know, teams and players or whatever get advantages. But what did you make of that whole situation with the Astros?
Well, I think it's one thing to, you know, to be able to signal pitches because the catcher, you know, doesn't cover up his signs well enough, or the pitcher tips his pitches or something like that. It's one thing to be able to steal signs from the third base coach and understand what the offense is going to do. It's a total another thing, in my opinion, to use the electronic, you know, to use the TVs and the electronic means to do it in real time so that you're communicating in which pitch is coming based upon being able to see from the center field camera what's going on. And yeah. I think anybody who anybody would think that that's wrong to do in the game of baseball, but it was something that they did. You know, my thing is I wonder if they're the only ones.
Right.
You know, they're not. The Astros weren't the only ballpark in the country that had cameras in center field and, you know, had the ability to run a direct feed into a dugout or into. So it's just kind of curious. I'm curious to know who all's done that. I can't believe that they're the only ones that have done it, because, you know, everybody's will to win and to find an edge is really, really, you know, at a high level. And there's a lot of money on the line and a lot of, you know, careers that are on the line. But it's a sad situation when you're stealing signs like that and signaling them in. I just think it affects the integrity of the game, and it's a sad situation. I wish they wouldn't have done it. I'm sure that everybody associated with the Astros now, especially that they were caught, really wish that they wouldn't have done it. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I hope it's not something that was rampant throughout the entire game. Baseball just doesn't need any more, you know, any more hickeys. I mean, the steroid era and the different stuff that happens from time to time in the game, we just don't need stuff like that. We need guys to go out there and do their own thing and, you know, try and be their very best. That's kind of what I think you get a lot of that at the college level. You know, in college baseball, you get a lot of guys out here who are hard-nosed kids trying to do their very best, trying to become the very best players that they can. It's sad to see some people's careers make it through taking steroids, and other people's career not make it because they refuse to do that to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see how much of an effect this has had on the game as well at that level. You know, I know now you read that there's one player, Mike Bolsinger, who's a kid that used to play here in the state of Texas in high school baseball. His only major league outing, I think, was against the Astros, and they crushed him.
Yeah.
And I saw yesterday he's actually suing the Astros.
Yeah.
Because he never got back to the big leagues after that outing. And, you know, you wonder if those type of things actually happen where it really affects somebody else's career, and you're sure that, it does. You know, the pitchers that are out there, they don't deserve for that to happen to them. So kind of a sad deal, and it's something that the Astros will be dealing with all year, obviously. And and AJ Hinch will deal with it all year. And I know AJ's a first class person, and always been thought of as a really, really strong integrity guy. But it's something that they're all going to have to overcome now as they go through the year.
Yeah, it's definitely going to linger with them for a little while, and it will be interesting to see, the Red Sox and whoever else. They're still investigating on what could happen there. But, another kind of, like you said, black eye for baseball. So hopefully we're done with that for a little while and the game just get back to being the game. But certainly, as always, Coach, we do appreciate your insight and your info and your time as well. Look forward to talking to you on a more regular basis once again now that you guys are in full swing. 7-0 start. And plenty of games coming your way, especially here in town, for you to be able to check out. So, Coach, as always, we do appreciate it, and we will talk to you very soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Fans, you guys can read up about us on Twitter, MCCBaseball1. Check out our website at mclennan.edu. We appreciate all your support. Go Highlanders.
There you go. Thank you, Coach. There is Mitch Thompson, head baseball coach over at MCC, again, at MCCBaseball1 on Twitter. And I wanted to make sure and mix in a little MLB when we have a story out there that's interesting enough, or a player signs. Like, we, I remember asking about Bryce Harper's contract last year and just his thoughts on the money and things like that. But certainly the biggest baseball story all year was that Astros scandal, and there will be further reaching punishments and things like that. I mean, we've already seen other managers get axed for their alleged roles and things like that, but baseball has had a lot of black eyes. There's no doubt about it. It's kind of hard to sort through its history without running into a conspiracy or something controversial at some point or another. You go back to the Black Sox, to the Pete Rose era, to the steroids era, to all points in between. There's always seemingly something. But great to have Mitch back on talking some baseball with us.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm interested to see how that lawsuit shakes out. I saw that yesterday when it was announced, and that's interesting because can't say he's wrong. You know what I mean? It's like, I really want to see how that's going to end up shaking out, because that could be a lot of different guys that feel like, that because what they were doing affected how their career is, their career earnings, how a lot of things shook out. I know talking to Ray Sadler a couple times, he was like, man, that could have ruined some people's careers. And so I kind of took it with a grain of salt. But I mean, as you sit back and think about it, he's not wrong.
Right. Yeah, that lawsuit could open the door for a lot more, mm-hmm. Or it could just get shut down and kind of end the frivolous lawsuits that might come the Astros' way. So that will be very interesting to see how that actually ends up, being decided. But he has a bit of a point, mm-hmm. But at the same time, I know plenty of people say, well, you're sorry anyways. Even when you pitched against other teams, you weren't that great. But that's what they'll have to sort out,
right,
and figure out. Thankfully, we don't have to worry about trying to get that all sorted. But great to talk to Coach Thompson. They are the number 3 team in the country, and the polls that I just took a glance at, 7-0 starting things off, and a lot more wins will be coming their way as well. It's 2:49. We'll take a break, and Smokey will be here to preview what's coming up on You Make the Call. This is ESPN Radio.
Baylor Big 12 Basketball Saturday with Pat and John here on the home of the Bears.
The Bears back in action Saturday in the Farrell Center hosting West Virginia. 2:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 3 p.m. tip-off Saturday for the Bears and the Mountaineers.
Baylor Big 12 Basketball Saturday here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Visit Valconi's Whiskey Distillery Tasting Room and Gift Shop, located in downtown Waco. Grab some friends and enjoy whiskey flights, refreshing cocktails, gift shopping, distillery tours, and special events. Sign up for one of their 10 weekly tours offered Tuesday through Saturday. Check their website, valconisdistilling.com/visit, for available times and book your spot today. Tours are $15 a person and include a tasting. Always distilled to appreciate. Valconi's is located downtown on the corner of Franklin and 11th, open Tuesday through Sunday.
Need to get away from it all? Do it in a new 2019 Jeep Wrangler Sport from Allen Samuels. With $4,535 in Allen Samuels discounts and $2,000 in Southwest bonus cash, Wrangler is just $31,990. Military gets an additional $500 discount. Wrangler has tons of options, including 3-piece hardtop and 7-inch radio group. And check out our incredible lease offer on new 2020 Gladiators, the President's Day event at Allen Samuels.
This may be a tough choice. Will it be Jeep or Journey? Alan Samuels has them for only $16,990 during the big President's Day event. The all-new 2019 Jeep Renegade Latitude, America's hottest subcompact SUV. Just $16,990. Or pick a new 2019 Dodge Journey midsize crossover with third-row seating, also just $16,990. Hey, flip a coin. Come by and save now at Waco's most trusted dealer, Alan Samuels.
Ask for details.
This Valentine's, you could get her flowers, you could get her chocolates, or you could get her jewelry. At D'Amore Fine Jewelers, why not get her all three? Free flowers and free chocolates with all diamond jewelry purchases, $99 and up. And with any gentleman gifts, we'll throw in a free men's necktie for your night out with a purchase of $99 and up. Now through February 14th, only at D'Amore Fine Jewelers, where Waco gets engaged. 4541 West Waco Drive.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. The number one Baylor man extended their winning streak to 21 games with a 52-44 win over Texas in Austin on Monday night. After the game, Scott Drew said that the work ethic of his team is what guided them through a rough night offensively.
To win on the road in conference, you have to have player-led teams, and you have to have guys that are mentally tough and normally experienced guys. It's usually juniors and seniors, and we're blessed to have guys that have put in the time in the gym. They have confidence in themselves, and the team has confidence with each other. So, and I mean, I thought Texas really competed. I mean, I thought Shaka had them ready to play, and they got their share of 50-50 balls for sure tonight and did a great job on the glass.
Next up is a home tilt with West Virginia on Saturday.
Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. We have a couple of minutes to go, and David Smoke now joins us in studio. How are we doing this afternoon?
Doing well. You guys don't have time for that, Scott Ruth.
Nope.
Yeah, well, that's fine. We'll have Baylor men's basketball coach Scott Ruth today at 3:15. On many things, from the offense and has it gone stale to where is Tristan Clark, and only as Scott Drew can do, he looks at what Tristan did last night, despite no points, five fouls, and you know he breaks it down. And something that we as fans, if you are a fan, or we as broadcasters who cover them, maybe wouldn't have thought about. And he always finds a silver lining. We'll have that for you as well. Plus just the burden of being number one. More respect now what Kansas and North Carolina and Duke and those do, you know, Kentucky, all the time. So we'll have that today at 3:15 here on ESPN Central Texas. How about this nugget? Baylor's four-week run at number one is the longest stretch for a men's basketball Division I team in Texas since Elvin Hayes in the University of Houston in 1968.
Wow, that is a hell of a nugget. That's a hell of a nugget. I like that.
Don Chaney was on that team.
Wow.
Guy V. Lewis was the head coach of that team. That's the team that eventually, at some point, ended UCLA when they beat them in the Astrodome in that Lou Alcindor against Eldon Hayes showdown.
Nice.
That's old school information right there. So
yeah, that's pretty impressive to go that far back, and also speaks to why we were a football state and not a basketball state.
Yeah, now Kim Mulkey, parts of what she had to say today. Kalani Brown was there today, and then also Mac Rhodes expected to be a part of our show today at 4:20. I've not had confirmation on that, and I think after last week, this would be easy for him.
Do you have an understanding of why? Not that it's a bad thing, but as of late, players from the past have come back and been in the press conference setting, or is this just...
Yeah, you know, Epi Udo did it.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, was it against Oklahoma State or the week before?
Like Saturday or
yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was pretty cool. And Scott Drew kind of said, I'm going to say a few things and turn it over to him, not Kalani Brown.
Right.
There was a Nina Davis. Well, that was a retirement of a jersey number, but maybe.
It's not a bad thing. It's just different.
I think it's great because it shows that, you know, like... We surely know that when Brittany Griner came back, it was under a very dark cloud of what she had done in that magazine, and that was very awkward, and there never was that moment, even though Baylor told her, you say something, you talk to our crowd, you say something, you do an interview, whatever, to kind of straighten it all up, clear the air. She said she was. The next day, she wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah, that's worked out really well for her. You know, having no relationship basically whatsoever with her college where she made her mark. I don't know. I think that was all just botched very badly on her part. But don't know that she even cares. So,
I know you got to go. Bob Bowlsby and Mark Emmert were in front of the Senate. Paul's got a couple of minutes of what Bowlsby had to say about ESPN Plus.
Yeah, there were some dumb questions being asked, and of course the government gets involved, and this thing starts going sideways from what its original intention is supposed to be. They're asking about national letters of intent. They're asking about, you know, paying college players and athletes, and they're getting questions about, like, why West Virginia versus so-and-so is not on primetime TV. You know, like, it's the government at work in something they probably shouldn't be involved with, but the ultimate end goal is trying to get these athletes paid. So that is an important thing, and we'll see where it goes. But some silliness going on, not surprisingly. That's going to do it for us this afternoon. We got to get on out of here, but thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Q. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. This is ESPN Central Texas.